hard, hard net. We got virgin suicides and Hollywood homicides. Black Hawk down Pearl Harbor and oh, the faculty Wicker Park and here on Earth. And that's why we hard, Joshua Daniel Hartnett.
Hello and welcome back to We Heart Hartnett, the podcast dedicated to exploring the filmography of the actor Joshua Daniel Hartnett, movie by movie. I'm Patrick Willems.
And I'm Jacob Torpy.
And I'm Matthew Torpy.
Guys, hello. You know what I realized yesterday?
It's sad that we're at the end of this road.
I mean, yeah, but we'll get to that. Oh. So the intro that I do for every episode, the podcast dedicated to exploring the filmography of the actor Josh Hartnett. So just in the past few days, after like a kind of like a year break, I've gotten back to listening to You Must Remember This.
Right. Yeah, I've heard a couple episodes.
Won't you?
Yeah.
That lady.
Right. Karina Longworth. Yeah, she's got a cool name.
And I didn't realize that I ripped off her intro. The podcast dedicated to exploring the secret and or forgotten history of Hollywood's Hollywood's in the 20th century. Anyway,
that's very
the phrase. The podcast dedicated to exploring.
Yes, I stole that.
She doesn't know.
What
any,
if she?
The phrase.
She, do you think she has the right to sue
us?
Come
at
us, like
Karina.
Potentially.
I don't think so because, and then it's bad because because her longtime boyfriend is Rian Johnson. Then he might get mad at us too. I don't want Rian Johnson to be mad at me.
I want you to try your best.
Take your best shot, Rian.
We could take him,
dude. Yeah. In a street fight, yeah,
yeah.
But anyway, actual physical fight, I can beat up Rian Johnson.
You heard it here first.
Also, I smoked cigarettes last night.
Oh, what are you, a bad boy?
And so, yeah.
Dude.
I wanted to ask if my voice was cooler sounding.
It is. You should smoke more cigarettes.
Jake, don't tell him that.
Okay. You want that smoky Ethan Hawke voice.
I'm addicted, I think. Hey.
Jake, Matt makes enough bad choices in his life. Don't encourage more.
I just have, my voice is, it feels cooler.
Think about how cool Edward R. Murrow looks when he's just like, hello, listeners. And then
the world
he
would
takes
be better.
A drag on
listeners,
that cigarette.
Listeners, tell
and
Matt
blows.
That you don't approve of the decision that his voice sounds shitty this episode.
Should I be addicted to nicotine, audience?
Ooh.
Because of how cool.
As the person who lives with Matt, please don't.
I'm going to smoke in the apartment too when I start getting addicted.
I love
to it.
And just have that the smoke just soak into all the fabric that's around
all
the apartment.
Fabric. My teeth are fucked up.
Gray. Your teeth are just charcoal.
You have
gray.
To leave every episode halfway through for a smoke break.
Yeah,
because you're weak and just you depend on this thing.
My expenditures triple because it's like, you know, $10 for a pack of cigarettes.
That was the thing that always blew my mind in college when these students, they couldn't sit through an entire class. They would have to just get up and leave and go outside even in the freezing cold Ohio winters and then come back in smelling terrible.
Yeah, you
like,
smell
you
bad.
Suck.
We're shaming you, smokers.
I have very little tolerance for people addicted to cigarettes, so...
You do smell bad when you smoke a cigarette and you come back in and you think it's like contained in your mouth, but it's not. Your whole head stinks
it's
when
all
you
over
come
you.
Back.
Yeah. So personally,
it's not contained in your mouth solely.
No, it comes out of your mouth.
I feel the
nose.
Same way about cigarettes that I do about guns in that I think...
they're fun to use, but in the proper range.
No.
They're cool as hell.
I don't like them, and I think they should be illegal and should only exist in movies where they look cool.
Well, the other thing guns and cigarettes have in common is that they're a good excuse to take a break outside of a bar when you're done. It's too loud outside.
Guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and people will either stay away from you or be attracted to you. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't smoke cigarettes, so sometimes I'll just stand outside of bars and just clean a Glock just with a rag. Yeah.
I have like a 12-gauge shotgun.
I mean, it's not loaded, but I just clean it.
I just crack it open, that bad boy open, lube up the friggin' bore or whatever.
I don't know shit. It's a good conversation piece.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, this is all a long way of saying welcome to the final episode of We Heart Hartnett. And we were postponing putting, you know, like, we were postponing getting to, like, the topic at hand because it's sad. It's our last episode.
I love Josh, and this is sad.
And Josh isn't here. We should say that right up front.
Oh, yeah, guys,
Josh Hartnett,
but...
despite us begging for months, despite me, I'm just going to say it now, despite me emailing his representation and asking...
Yeah, they were not interested in speaking with
us. I got a reply from his publicist who was not helpful.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here! Shoo!
Hi, ma'am. We are creators of the podcast We Heart Hartnett, established in March of 2018 and residing in New York City. And it's just,
shut the fuck up. He's not here.
You're nothing. I could step on you with the back of my shoe and smear you off like the so much dog shit that you are.
It was, we were like, jeez.
Well,
it was
this just would like
be
that.
A nice opportunity. hey, ma'am, may I present you with a wonderful opportunity to... broaden Josh's exposure.
May I present you with a pie chart?
He's done films. He's done TV. He's done theater. But has he done podcasting?
Not the way we do it, baby. He did Talking Stoop. Do you guys remember that video? He did a weird little interview segment.
He sat on a stoop in New York City, our city.
Does that still happen? That it's like a web series, isn't it?
I don't know, really. I've just only seen that one episode.
With fewer subscribers... Then the YouTube channel Patrick H. Willems.
Yeah. Whoa, the powerhouse Patrick H. Willems. YouTube / Patrick H. Willems.
Yeah. So
that's a URL link. If you can hyperlink yourself to the website youtube.com.
Yeah.
You'll see videos not featuring Josh Hartnett because he was not a guest on them.
He's too goddamn mysterious. Well, we picked one of the most mysterious and aloof. Social media averse
we didn't know.
Actors on the planet. We didn't know when we were getting into it. We thought maybe he had a Twitter.
Yeah, he truly keeps a low profile.
As in,
he's
okay,
so secret.
Let me point out a recent example of how low his profile is.
Yes.
So we follow his girlfriend and and mother of his children, his partner, you could say.
Mm-hmm. In a way, they feel like my own. That's how much I've been looking at them.
Exactly. Matt's a very normal, chill guy. We follow her on Instagram.
Yeah.
Mostly for potential Josh sightings, which are few and far between. She is active on Instagram.
Yeah.
Josh is not active in her Instagram.
Yep.
But, so last night was her 30th birthday party.
Yeah. Happy and birthday, Tamsin.
Happy birthday, Tammy.
Happy birthday, Tamsin.
Baby.
Co-star of The Lovers.
Yes.
And so I was going through...
Mrs. Flapjack, or what was she called in that movie? They had hilarious names.
Mrs. Flap... No, yeah.
Their last
the
names
Fennels?
Or something. The Fennels.
The Flapjack.
I don't know. The letter F,
hey,
guys.
Hey, it got me there, so...
Yeah.
So...
Mr. and Mrs. Fennel.
I was going through her post about her birthday party, and it's one of those, like, kind of slideshow Instagram posts with a bunch of photos.
Yeah.
And there's, like, four photos, and then if you swipe through all of those, you get to a video of her party guests, her friends, mm-hmm. singing happy birthday to her next to a cake. Mm-hmm. The lighting is dim.
Good-looking cake.
Good-looking tall cake.
Tall.
And you can see illuminated... by the camera flashes.
And yet obscured coolly in the shadows a bit.
Yeah, like a nested doll where in middle prize is a little glimpse of Josh.
You can see our boy Josh Hartnett next to the cake wearing a crisp white shirt and glasses. And he's rubbing his hands together as he sings happy birthday. Probably excited to eat some cake.
Oh, yeah, you know it.
He's probably thinking about how moist the cake is.
You can sometimes see in the shadows a little bit his tongue sort of darts out of his mouth and he licks his lips
to the corners of
in
his...
anticipation.
We may have enhanced it and gone frame by frame.
This might be the Zapruder tape for us, and we're sort of going through frame by frame.
You get a blurred shot of Josh, like, computer, enhance. Like, read the serial tag on his, like, shirt collar to figure out where he bought it and what the manufacturer was, and we find his
and
address.
Then we'll fly to London and then hang out at that store in the hope that he needs more shirts, because maybe he got cake frosting on that one and needs to replace it.
But, and then we do the... a spectrograph analysis. I'm making words up. Of the frosting to figure out where the ingredients could have been bought.
And then we use a spirograph just because they're fun.
Yes.
And then I do some old school research from the 90s to see if we can cross reference where Josh has been in the past. And I look at microfiche.
Yeah, Jake's straight up in the Library of Congress.
Yep.
Slicing you know and dicing me. Through some microfiche.
Following the money.
Yeah.
I have at this point found out which grocery store the frosting
was purchased. Turns out it was pre-made. Okay, Tamsin. And so I get a job at the supermarket until I check out Josh himself.
But you guys, you're thinking too small.
Meanwhile, Jake's just looking at microfiche, but I have found Josh.
Jim, I'm on the Isle of Dingle in Ireland trying to find the laundromat named after the Hartnett family crest.
Yeah.
This is baffling to us. And so what I have done is I've taken some bigger steps.
Okay, tell
so
us.
So I have chloroformed and tied up the nanny of their children. And I have disguised myself in a Mrs. Doubtfire style way as...
Hello!
As an older Irish nanny, and I have gotten the job of the new nanny of Josh and Tamsin's children.
Yeah.
So now I am inside the home.
We don't know what happened. Our nanny just sort of up and left without giving us any warning.
Oh dearie, that's so bad for you.
Life can throw you kind of crazy turns, can't it? And then you have an evil glint in your eyes.
Are these the little ones that are so dear?
Mr. Hartnett, have you considered... going on this podcast that's talking about you on the internet.
Have you heard of it?
And then he's
now
like,
I'm
no,
Scottish.
No, I don't. I didn't. And then cut to,
ooh, these three nice boys love you.
Pat has induced a sort of artificial sleep paralysis in both Josh and Tamsin. And in the middle of the night,
in a very legal way.
Yes. And in the middle of the night, very legal to that they unwillingly were drugged. And, in the middle of the night, they wake up, but they can't move. And they can hear their children crying, but it's muffled because of the fact that there's cloth over their arms and bound and gagged. And Jake's in that room keeping it down.
Oh, I'm babysitting.
Yeah. Literally babysitting, sitting on them. Yeah. And Pat peels off his false face in a very horrifying way to reveal that he's not an old woman, after all, but a bearded young man. And he just thrusts a microphone in front of Josh's mouth and goes, we will get this interview.
Why did you do the film Town and Country, and what was it like on the set?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us about the earlier drafts of the blow-dry script.
Answer us!
Why did you make the film The Ottoman Lieutenant?
I don't negotiate with terrorists.
It just turns into a cool Josh Hartnett movie as we're
interrogating
him.
Yeah, this could be a meta movie.
Yeah.
It's like the King of Comedy.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what?
More like the King of Podcasting. That's the level of humor, Josh, if you're listening, you can expect when you are a guest on our show.
Razor sharp wit.
Jokes about threatening your family.
Not harming, just threatening.
People that you love that we don't know anything about.
But what we're getting at here is that Josh has such a low profile
that
you have to search on like his girlfriend's Instagram for even the barest glimpse of him.
Yeah, which makes it all seem very intentional. Like
Yeah, I mean, clearly they had an agreement, like, they're just not going to post photos of him because he's obviously attending these things that she's at.
Yeah.
And that she's posting things about. You can sense Josh off camera in like all these photos.
There's literally a photo in this recent one where you see his ear just left of frame. And it's just the side of his ear poking out. And he clearly was like, this is a great photo of the two of us. I'm glad you want to post it. Crop it.
Yeah.
Crop it. And she didn't crop it well enough.
Crop it more. Tamsin. You said you'd crop it.
I'm seeing an earlobe in there. She's like, I'm so sorry.
Well, here's the thing with Josh, too. And
we're like computer enhanced.
3 degrees to the left. And it somehow reveals the photo that just isn't even there.
Yeah, we do a laser scan and get the vein patternings in his ear. And then we know that it's a special
somehow
vein
locate
signature.
Him that way. We've got his vein signature. He's at this address. Like, we just know the address suddenly.
Listen, it's 2018, okay?
I mean,
everyone's vein signature.
Guys, look at this photo.
Yeah.
Where his face, he's in the photo.
That's wild.
You can, it's like.
That's weird.
His whole upper body.
It looks like his face
but
is
his
her
face
hair.
is obscured.
Yeah, Josh, if you're going to do the no public image thing on social media, don't also kind of do it.
Or make it funny and be like Slender Man, where you're kind of out of focus in the background of a ton of photos and it's almost spooky.
Do a Slender Man thing. Yeah. Be in another Slender Man movie.
Right now, this post is kind of like the opening credits of The Spy Who Shagged Me, but with his face.
the spider. Yeah, you're right. Instead of covering up Austin Powers' genitalia, it's Josh Hartnett's face.
You know what's weird? And I know that this was this is very like of my brand, but I wanted to drink the Mojo.
It's the most on brand you've ever been.
Because
they've got my Mojo, baby.
It was like, it looked good. It was like,
it did look good. It looked like
lava lamp fluid or something.
Yeah, which incidentally was also something you wanted to drink, right? I mean, I know I kind of did.
Yeah, and I wish I could touch it and it wasn't so hot.
Ow.
I kept burning myself like a fucking moron.
Is this like your version of Diego Luna and Jabba the Hutt?
Yes.
Huh?
It kind of.
Wait, Jake,
I want to touch Jabba. Jabba, the texture of his skin. I want to rub him.
You haven't. Diego Luna wanted to touch Jabba.
So when Diego Luna was on the press tour,
what a fun sentence.
It is funny. Yeah, when he was on,
breaking. Diego Luna wishes to feel Jabba the Hutt's texture.
There are multiple compilation videos on YouTube because when he was on the press tour for Rogue One, it kept coming up. They would just ask him about like, oh, what do you think about like Star Wars? Did you like Star Wars? And he'd be like, oh yes, I love Jabba.
He's so creepy.
All his co-stars just like will turn and look at him like, what? And he's like,
you don't love
like Jabba. You don't want to just rub his skin. Like what does it feel like?
I like the idea that he creeped out his entire cast.
He kind of did.
It's also really endearing because he's so fascinated by like what Jabba the Hutt might feel like.
But it was announced that his character
is going to get a new TV show, and so he's going to reprise. Character.
What is happening with the Star Wars universe?
What is happening? What is going on?
Because Disney's launching a streaming service, and they're going to make original shows. There'll be Star Wars shows and Marvel shows.
God,
and
somebody bust up this monopoly already.
Yeah, please don't make Disney force me to drink out of the fucking fire hose of Star Wars content. You're going to drown in it! I'm like, oh!
But
getting waterboarded by Star Wars.
One of the first things that he was asked in an interview after this was announced was, so do you think you'll get to touch Jabba? And he was like, he was all embarrassed.
He's like, I wouldn't have signed on if I didn't. What do you think is going to happen at the season finale?
What is the name of Jabba's race again?
Hutt, dude.
Oh,
he's a Hutt.
No, the Hutts are the like surname of the crime family.
Yeah. Oh.
But they're like Slorgy. They have some sort of slug-like, right?
Just called Sluggos.
Yeah.
He's a sluggo. This is George
Armenians.
Lucas now.
Just like he calls him Armenian.
Well, they're Armenians.
George, you're not even trying anymore.
What are the Hutts?
Oh,
they're Slovaks.
Weird. Apparently, Hutt is...
Well, they're Croatian.
His species is Hutt. And,
boom! Yeah, Jake with the Star Wars trivia.
Well, because the language he speaks is Huttese.
Oh, my God.
You knew that.
I knew it was Huttese.
Hey,
when
you come
I thought that was the name of his family name.
Yo, George Lucas, when you come up with these words, just say it out loud before you like finalize it as the word for what it is. Because like Huttese just does not roll off the tongue.
You know, to be fair, in the realm of things that George Lucas has named, Huttese is like pretty good.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
I mean, well,
Jizz. I mean, come on.
Jizz music.
Come on, Jake.
No, is that real?
That's his version. It's space jazz.
It's called Jizz.
It's called Jizz.
Jake, you didn't know this?
I thought we told you about this.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the cantina. wait.
It's called Jizz. Oh, this is delightful.
When did Jizz enter the popular vernacular for what it now
never it never
means.
Entered
the popular vernacular. The kids are all saying Jizz now.
I believe
it's lit in here. This Jizz is hot.
wait
hot Jizz.
Slow down, Jake. I'm about to make it better for you.
Freeform Jizz.
You know what it is? It's the notes, but it's the notes you don't play in
We're
Jizz
talking
that
acid
really matters.
Jizz.
Okay, wait. I'm so delighted that Jake didn't know about this. Jake, do you want it to get better? Do you want me to drop more facts on you?
Yes.
Do you know what the musicians who play Jizz are called?
Oh, please tell me.
Jizz Whalers.
Jizz Whalers. Jesus. No, I want to know when Jizz became the slang term for semen.
Oh.
When did that happen?
I don't know that. I can tell you.
George
I can tell
Lucas
you where,
just
like,
not aware, and it was still a word that was being used even when he was coming up
like
with these ideas?
It seems like it was a joke that someone said that like a bunch of like people who can't...
I think read that, sarcasm where like, oh, it is jizz.
I think this was probably like, revealed in one of those like Star Wars encyclopedias from the 80s.
The
period in between movies when they were just like making guides about like, you know, all the stuff on the different worlds. And they're like, oh yeah, the music that they're playing in the cantina, you know, that like that the Max Rebo band plays is jizz.
Right. And I don't want to make fun of nerds because, you know, people in glass houses, etc.
Yeah.
But it definitely sounds like somebody who never had sex.
Yeah.
Who was like, let me create a robust mythology about the music of Star Wars.
It's called jizz.
It's called jizz.
Jizz was first mentioned in the Return of the Jedi junior novelization.
Okay.
I read the
junior novelization, so for kids.
Oh man.
Jizz,
wow.
In a kid's book
what
was the first time jizz music. Jesus.
Wrote this book.
Wait, hold up. Apparently,
jizz whalers played jizz all night long.
No, wait, guys, this gets weirder.
Blew their big bugle.
Oh no.
Got all the jizz jelly.
Paid $20 a ticket to see the jizz that night.
Man, that jizz was boop-bop-beep-boppin'.
We went to a late night jizz club and paid a $20 door fee to see some jizz played in a basement. Jizz in a smoky room with a cocktail.
Wait, sorry. It was
19. I'm sipping a Sazerac and just watching some jizz happen.
Jizz was first mentioned.
This is the finale. The word was first podcast.
It was first used in 1984 in the reference book A Guide to the Star Wars Universe.
So we're always delivered the hot content for the final extravaganza.
I mean, we're
the series finale.
We're only 20 minutes into this episode, and this is pretty on brand for us.
Oh, I did not know
the
that
big blowout
amazing fact.
With special guests and fun games.
And we pulled a fast one, you guys. Here's Josh Hartnett.
Just reading the Wikipedia entry for Wikipedia entry for jizz.
Imagine if Josh Hartnett were sitting across the table from us, silent through this entire conversation.
Waiting for us to introduce him.
What are you talking about?
Josh, your thoughts on jizz whalers?
No.
You seem kind of like a drag, Josh.
Well, we
just no buts everything we say. He never yes
no
ends.
Buts.
Guys,
no buts.
You know, in a way, we're just a few Josh whalers.
Yeah, yeah, we're Josh whalers. We wailed about him for hours and hours.
And he didn't
your
come
size
to our
noodles.
Show.
Jake size
noodles. You're totally size noodles.
I'm Max Rebo. I get to be Max Rebo. And
I don't know enough about the band, Steven.
Yeah,
be able to
Jake,
fucking
what
lame.
Have you been doing with your life if you don't know about jizz music?
I watch Ingmar Bergman. All right.
I have a film
Cries
Struck
and
account.
Whispers. Why don't you take a look
I'm
at that?
I'm a
okay?
charter member of the Criterion channel.
Yeah, Persona.
Maybe
vis-a-vis.
Maybe
put on some Janus films, okay?
Why don't you put on Armored?
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah. Why? I don't know why I'm joining you now.
Yeah.
Man, why don't you watch Hour of the Wolf, okay? No, I like to watch
anyway,
movies
that,
like
that. Anyway, that was our last episode,
Crawl.
And good night, everybody.
Have a good night, everybody.
I hope you enjoyed
and,
our podcast.
And good night and good luck. I hope you liked the podcast.
JK, we're back. We have more to talk about. So,
can I say something about why Josh obviously doesn't have...
No, fine.
Yeah, can we talk about Josh again?
All right, I guess I wasn't really done...
I wasn't done talking
topic.
About Josh. Oh, with jizz?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No, wait, Matt, finish your thoughts on jizz.
Yeah.
Thinks good. I kind of wonder what Max Rebo feels like.
Oh yeah, because he's all blue and
blubbery
kind of,
looking.
Yeah, blubbery.
Fun. Honk his big nose.
He's a full body blue balls, is what you're saying.
Maybe he's got little. There's little like suction things on the ends of his fingers.
Uh huh. Ooh, so when he presses
know,
the keys
to,
of his saxophone.
That? Well, maybe press the keys. Of...
Guys, do you want me to list the members?
What?
The, you want to know the members
know.
Of the Max Rebo band?
Sure. These names will mean nothing to me.
Okay, so obviously the leader is Max Rebo, and Cy Snoodles is the singer, but she was not a founding member.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's Ak Rev. There's okay, wait. There is, how do you pronounce this? There's...
I wouldn't worry about it too much.
Dota.
The game?
Dota Bonatowido.
Cool.
Dota Bonatowido.
Bonatowido.
There's Barquin Dan.
Dan is his last name.
Well, there's Figurin Dan as well.
D apostrophe A-A, like Figurin Dan.
Oh, got it.
There's Greta Gendowanian.
Cool.
That the good name. There's my favorite member. He's the guy who looks kind of like he's just a big nose.
The CGI guy.
Yeah. His real name is not the CGI guy. His real name is Snit, but his stage name is Droopy McCool.
Oh, Droopy McCool.
Yeah, Matt, you know this guy.
That guy's fucked up looking.
Yeah,
he is.
His head looks so much pressure in his head.
His head looks like a big tumor with a pig nose on the top of it.
It really does.
There's Rapper Toonie. There's Ristel Sant.
Ristel Sant.
Oh. There's Joe Yowza. He's the CGI guy.
Oh my god, of course.
I actually really like Joe Yowza.
And then finally, there is Umpus Stay.
Umpus Stay.
He's a male Cladoenian who is a drummer and bodyguard for the Max Rebo Band.
Imagine liking Star Wars more than just a little bit. Where you'll die for people like
Umpus Day.
That's the thing. Like, I feel like
is that supposed to be like Opus Day? The
definitely.
Definitely. Never mind.
See, like Matt, you and I are at the level where we know Max Rebo, we know Size Noodles, and then we'll know other things like Salacious Crumb,
right?
Or his better name, Capuchin Hacker Fucker. thank you, Neil Sestriga.
Yeah.
But that's it. That's where my knowledge ends.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's not even a shame of knowledge. It's just imagine also being passionate about, Billy Yowza? What's his name?
Joe Yowza. Or just imagine like listening to Umpa Stay's solo releases. Like that's, you know what those all sound
like. Oh, like in the Star Wars universe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be cool.
Yeah, but guys, with your jizz.
This is a podcast about Josh Hartnett, and it's our final episode about Josh Hartnett. And we should just say right now that this is the end of the current run of the podcast, but that this is not the end of We Heart Hartnett.
No.
Because for one...
It only happens when he's dead.
I was going to say when he comes on the show.
When he's dead is the real ending.
I feel like if he comes on the show, if we ever get that blessed moment
that
in
honor,
our lives,
which we will,
then I would be even more revved up to see his next movie, because you know we would be getting those backstage tickets and we'd go to the after party,
you know,
and
be in the New York City premiere just drinking and just meeting his cool friends,
because now we're not seeing a movie with a person like an actor, we're seeing a movie our friend is in,
but then we would be able to speak beautiful. Critically about it on our podcast.
I know, that's
if we're friends. Well, here's something to consider.
Maybe it's a curse if he comes on.
Well, actually, okay. Here's something we should think about in terms of getting Josh on the show.
Yeah.
This whole run of the podcast, he has not had like Six Below, I think, really came out at the end of last year?
Oh, Lucy had a New York City premiere in February of this year.
Okay. But...
But we hadn't released it yet.
Other than that, our podcast wasn't even out yet. He hadn't been... Yeah, since our podcast has been out, he has not been in New York on like a press tour promoting a movie. Next time he is, then I feel like that will be our chance.
I go there with a big sack and I get him.
I was going to say, I email his publicist and say, hi.
Plan B is
Josh is, when Josh is in New York, will he be on our podcast? If he'll be on that Stoop Woman's show, then he can be on our show.
Stoop Woman's show?
Yeah, for real though. Come on, man.
But
indoors if you do this. Come on.
Yeah. That'll be,
temperature control.
We'll give him a drink.
Yeah.
But that'll be our best shot. And so we will keep an eye out on like what he's up to. And so, for instance, if we can ever get a hold of Josh Hartnett, there will be an emergency episode for that. And also,
emergency
episode. And stop the presses. I know it's only a Thursday and new episodes normally drop Tuesday morning, but we have Josh Hartnett.
We have Hartnett. That's what it should be called.
We have Hartnett?
We have Hartnett.
We have him.
I've always thought of calling it the Heart to Heart. Or the Heart to Heartnet.
Ooh, that's good. That's good, actually.
Yeah.
That's better.
I'm good at titles. Thanks.
Pat yourself on the back.
Why don't you pat yourself on the back?
And we're good at puns.
His name.
Pat Pats.
His own back.
We do need to cool it.
When the riffs are this hot,
you got to just keep them flowing.
I need to take a break.
But to be serious for a moment, we do need to cool it on the home invasion jokes. because if there's anything that's going to make him not want to come on, it's us casually joking about chloroforming his family. and I say this because you remember when we were talking about that interview that he did at Sway when he was talking about the music video, the Kid Cudi music video? He mentions on that interview, they've asked him about one of the reasons why he left for Minnesota, that infamous time in his life when he fled the Hollywood thing. The Hollywood machine was because he dealt with like a couple different stalkerish issues. And he mentions one particular instance on the interview, which is so creepy sounding, where he came to his home in Minnesota one time and found just a woman standing in his bedroom.
Oh my God.
Unlocked his door.
I feel bad now.
No. I mean, like,
no, it makes it
like
funnier.
There's some serious
for you. Yeah. You didn't say I said the chloroform line. Josh. Jeez. Oh wait. Can I just make this very clear? I was going to put this on mic right now. Josh, that was all a joke.
Yeah, we're just being silly.
I would never stalk anyone.
Yeah.
I also, I don't even have like the budget to just fly to London on a whim like that for some, like, it's not going to happen.
You know, now it sounds like you will do it.
Cancel your tickets.
it was a joke. I did not know about the stalker. I'm so sorry that happened to you.
It was a joke.
We're good people.
Yeah, we're not freaks.
Well, I feel like I don't know.
Anyways.
A lot of protesting.
Anyways, there's just those sort of like, I mean, he's dealt with his fair share of that. And honestly, I would have to imagine though, like, he must not be the only person. I mean,
people get stalked.
Imagine
someone trying to kill the president for you.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I mean, like that, even that's crazy. Way less famous people get stalkers.
Right.
I mean, I'm still waiting on my stalker.
I know.
When's that going to happen?
Yeah. Pat's eagerly waiting. Pat's like excited like a person on Christmas morning.
Like, how many subscribers do I need?
When's my person in my room?
I go in
smelling
every day.
My undershirt.
I excitedly turn the light, and then I sadly just like breathe a disappointed sigh. Yeah. Like, ugh. Just no stalker.
Do you know how scary it is? The idea of walking your home.
It's horrifying.
One of my big fears. Pushing open the door to your bedroom, and there's just a person you don't know standing there. I can't think of anything more terrifying.
Yeah,
we were talking about how, like, in Hereditary,
they
put that to good use. The person quiet and completely still, just standing nude, half obscured by the dark.
Like, the scariest
which
part
is
of
it. Early on, that you can barely see it. You're not even sure if you see it.
Right, exactly. Like,
I mean, like, whenever if my parents are out of town, because they have like they live in a big old, like very old house.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll go up there and just stay there, like by myself. And when I walk around this very old, empty house, which is very dark and very far away from other houses, I do always think about, like, what if there were just a person in here?
No, fuck
that.
Hate it.
It's like one of my greatest fears.
So much. I can't even.
It doesn't matter who it is.
To this day, I'm an adult man.
Yeah.
And when I'm at our house and, you know, like, I still have to kind of position myself when I'm watching TV or I'm reading in the living room.
Yep.
Towards the basement door.
Because it's going to come from the basement, whatever it is.
It will come from the basement. And I'm always afraid that if I turn my head away for a split second, I'll turn around and there's a guy right 2 inches from my face.
Yeah.
Who's like, I'm going to fucking kill you.
No.
No way.
I get scared if my beautiful wife is in a room that I didn't expect her in. I'm just like, fuck. Oh, I didn't think you'd be in here.
Well, didn't she scare you one time?
She did scare me. She scared me multiple times. She scared me on purpose one time.
She's actually a very scary person.
She's really spooky.
Yeah, she definitely pops
one
out.
One time we were asleep and she got up and rolled off the edge of the bed and then literally army crawled around the bed and then came up the other side. But she did this creepy thing where she pushed down on the bed to make me think that she was still there. Like, she was so conniving and mean when she did that.
That is such a
And then
good
she stood
story.
On the other side of me. I rolled over and I saw her in the darkness.
Darkness.
Fuck.
Fuck.
Did she do anything?
I mean, It's just that moment when you see it, because when she actually tries to do like the boo, then she's not scary anymore. It's like, oh, she's like, boo.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, you're not
I love
that scary.
You.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, I love you too.
Yeah. That's good though.
Yeah.
Boo. That's powerful relationship.
So powerful.
Love is power. It's so powerful and beautiful.
It is.
You army crawl around and scare your...
But...
Scare your
so
husband.
Guys, it's our final episode.
That's what you said to her.
I said,
you scared your husband.
Okay, so guys, we're half an hour into our final episode.
Should we do our rankings then?
I think we should get to that a bit later, because right now I put out a call on Twitter. You should still follow us at HeartHeartNet on Twitter. And for some questions from the fans.
Ooh, okay, we'll do the question segment first.
And
okay.
I got a bunch of questions.
A quegment, as we would like to call it.
As I would love to call it. That's also TM. We coined it and copyrighted it.
So we'll sue you if you use
it. We'll sue your ass.
Okay. So here's
if I ever hear anyone say that without me going, yes, you may.
So
what are the questions?
To begin,
In our quegment.
I've got a few questions here from Ryan Morse. Okay. He says,
lay 'em on us.
What roles would you like to see Josh inhabit next? Any franchises?
Interesting.
Any franchises?
I mean, obviously, once again, hashtag Josh Hartnett for Batman.
Yeah, we're all on the record with saying that would be a good move.
And the most, like, the most satisfying aspect, if there was ever a heartening to be had, because it would justify, you know, the moment in his early career when he, quote unquote, turned the role down. AKA yes. wanted to be in whatever, The Illusionist, and then, or what was it called?
He was interested in The Prestige.
The Prestige, thank you. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
yeah, he could have, yeah.
I think...
He made that big mistake. Can I be in Prestige, but not Batman Begins? And Christopher Nolan was like, no. You're fired from both now.
I would like to see him in kind of a darkly humorous sort of Dexter type thing.
Oh, where he gets to be like, you know, have a bit of his like Lucky Number 11 charm.
Right. But it's worked to, you know, the sociopathic.
But he's a sinister
levels.
Character.
Yeah. I would like to see him in kind of like some sort of prestige television, you know, sort of role where he gets to play an anti-hero of some kind.
Like maybe a sort of endearing sociopath.
Yeah, but like it would get dark cuz you know, he would be monstrous, but he would be still charismatic.
I think that
or
could
like
be really
maybe,
good.
You know, like The Fall, which kind of started to fall apart, in my opinion, because...
Pun.
I got myself. I owned myself. because Jamie Dornan cannot act.
No,
like,
really?
As soon as he had to,
you
like...
Wait, I mean, I don't know. Have you seen his performance in 50 Shades Darker?
Because... I did not pay to see
well, actually,
fucking trash.
I paid to see all
one
three.
One of our hosts did. So, Jake, tell us about Jamie Dornan.
Oh, he's terrible. He's, like, not a good actor.
He's
the
awful.
Only person that makes it out of... I love this franchise, and it has so little to do with the movies being good.
Yeah, Jake likes the, like, weird, like, psychosexual content of, like, the creators.
Yeah, I think it's so fascinating. And the only person that makes it out of that franchise alive is obviously Dakota Johnson, who is very, very talented.
And also just so on the record and visibly annoyed with the necessity to be in that series to... supposedly to boost her profile.
I guess,
and,
yeah.
And it worked.
I would love to know her thoughts
been,
on that, yeah.
She's been signing up for good stuff since she got out of there.
She's great in Suspiria.
But so...
Franchise.
You're saying
he
met
could
The Fall.
If he was the Jamin Dornan character, the kind of psychopath who is charismatic and no one suspects because they're too disarmingly handsome, which is essentially all Jamie Dornan's good for, is like he's like looks good. But Josh has the acting chops to really pull that character off, I think. And it would be fun, and he would have some steady work to, like, stretch his muscles, because it would be fun to make him, like, sort of, you know, a dynamic, weird murderer who's, like, funny, and there can be some, like, dark physical comedy. Like, it would be good.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see that. I'd also like to see, because I really like him in his little small role in Sin City, where he's got, like, you know, again, sort of the sort of dangerous charm, but also it makes good use of his voice. You know, with like the voiceover and in the sort of noir atmosphere.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's a bummer that his one big like shot at noir was wasted in The Black Dahlia. And I would like to see...
Yeah, what a stinker.
Yeah. Ugh. So that was for me the biggest disappointment.
Long and
bad. Yeah.
But
long and bad.
I would like to see some sort of like fun noir film. Maybe where he plays kind of like a depressed but still like kind of like a down on his luck detective or something like that, but still with like you know, he's got some charm to him. Maybe give him a non shitty voiceover, because I think he does have a good voice.
Oh, he's got a great voice.
And
that's one of his
just
best
like,
features.
Right. I mean, you look at the little moments in Sin City, like the you know, it's him saying "care for a smoke."
Yeah.
And there's a reason that is. if you search Josh Hartnett on like GIFs, that is one of the ones that comes up the most because he delivers it really well. And just because he can be dangerous.
Oh,
which,
yeah.
Which isn't utilized enough. He has a good physical presence. He obviously he has a good voice, but he's charming but mysterious. He has, once again, his dark eyes, which I'd love to talk about. And
he's a very classic leading man, which is not something that really exists these days, not in the sense of like we were describing Clark Gable.
Exactly. But in terms of like a franchise type work, it might be fun to see him play a bit against type, like as some kind of villain. And
truly evil.
And look,
that's what I was saying.
Make him like a First Order person in like a Star Wars movie or something like that. Yeah. Or some person that they recruit.
I would love to see him decked out also in like a Guardians of the Galaxy style, like,
oh yeah,
really hyper saturated, you know, psychedelically.
Yeah, his skin is just pure purple.
Yeah, for some reason.
Oh,
he's wearing a big silly outfit with a lot of.
Oh my
shit
god!
All over
yeah.
It.
Well, because here's the thing: we've all seen the Clark Gable episode, and we know that Josh has this untapped potential for a little bit more slapstick physical humor.
Yeah,
and to just have, I could even see him doing, and this might sound weird too, is like the Eddie Redmayne Jupiter Ascending type role where he's very quiet and then goes insane and his really well oiled back hair flops over his face when he gets mad.
Okay.
And like
a little bit like Fifth Element.
And he wears like huge robes and shit.
And I'm gonna say, okay, so and
I wanna see him in a huge
and
space
then at the
robe.
End of the movie when you realize he's just sort of like this evil emperor type figure, he finally throws off the robe at the end and he's fucking Josh Hartnett and he's shredded and he's like ready to fight and he wears these weird gauntlets that like whip out like snakes.
That's fantastic. And I think the perfect thing for
it is
really
fantastic.
Yes, you really got into detail there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously him in a big sort of like colorful sci-fi thing.
Yeah.
And I think the perfect thing, as much as if he's going to do a DC Comics adaptation, I want to see him be Batman, but right now in development over at Warner Brothers, Ava DuVernay is making a New Gods movie, as in based on Jack Kirby's Fourth World with like New Genesis and Apocalypse, with all these crazy, colorful, like fantastical, superpowered characters that live on other planets and have like this, you know, all these crazy pieces of technology.
Yeah.
And there's so many of those characters, like especially I think Josh could be a good Orion, or even maybe he could be someone on Apocalypse.
I'm not super familiar, so.
And basically just imagine crazy Jack Kirby designs with crazy like gauntlets and stuff on Josh where he's got like a cape as well.
Right.
And he's like flying around on some sort of like space
surfboard be cool.
thing. Yeah, there's also a lot of roles in there, and I think that could be fun. So anyway,
you know what else I want to see Josh in too? I think he'd be cool in a show like Girls, and that, you know, like I don't think you've seen the show, but Matt, I know you've watched at least a little bit of it, right?
I've seen the whole thing.
Remember Patrick Wilson's character?
Yeah.
I feel like I could see Josh Hartnett doing something similar to that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Just playing like I don't know. Patrick Wilson always gets almost typecast now at this point as sort of the handsome dude who's still somehow like psychologically impotent or something like that. Like, it's like hard to put a finger on
like
what
a
exactly
creepy
he gets.
Or sort of weird. Yeah.
Yeah. There's something a little snivelly about him almost all the time.
Yeah.
And I think Josh could do something interesting like that where he plays sort of this morally ambiguous character, but in a show that's primarily a comedy, but more of like a cringe comedy or something.
Patrick Wilson has the quality that he has is kind of, why can I remember? Here on Earth, who we hate.
Chris Klein?
He has a Chris Klein kind of pinched face.
Yeah.
That is just innately hateable because it's a little, it's like rodential.
Yeah. There's something about it.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, like, but it's like handsome, but it just walks that line of like
it's handsome but punchable
like
for
some
reason.
Yeah.
Him in that Aquaman trailer,
and then I want to destroy it.
That silly wig.
Oh my god, so good,
so punchable.
And well, Patrick Wilson's interesting because you know, have you guys seen the A-Team movie?
No.
I've seen the A-Team.
Okay, the movie, the Joe Carnahan one is actually pretty fun.
Yeah.
And Patrick Wilson has this great supporting role where he's just like this douchey FBI agent who just like kind of keeps showing up, and like he's not the villain, but he'll be like, you know, just like he's just like a thorn in their side, and he's right. just like he's really over the top, and he's just this like kind of comedic character who enters the movie throughout it, and
I like that.
It uses him really well, yeah. But no, I think what you're talking about is basically weaponizing Josh's like handsomeness,
yeah,
and his appeal. But what so it's like he seems like a you know the kind of guy who might like you know. Sweep you off your feet, but yeah. then he sucks.
Or he's like a getting... snake oil salesman, like Killer
oh,
Joe.
Yeah.
Remember Killer Joe?
Yeah, that
and
rocks.
Matthew McConaughey starts off seeming kind of like
that's
the only
movie, isn't it?
Like... It's one of them, yeah. But then just going completely. I mean, we've seen Josh at the end of "I Come with the Rain." We know he rubs a severed head's blood all
yeah,
over his body.
That's the closest we've come to like. That's like the most
he can get unhinged.
Far, you know, kind of out there thing I've seen him basically be in.
So I can right. see him in a Killer Joe kind of thing, where he plays
Remember
this hitman that's just so much more suave.
Wing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the
that's
end of the movie.
I mean,
that movie's so, so
the
crazy.
The problem with so many of Josh's roles is that he's yeah. just cast as these kind of bland, personality-less, just like protagonists,
yeah.
where
yeah.
there's
that's
just
the
not enough going on.
A lot of
that's
the
true.
Movies around the middle of his career in general.
And not just the yeah. middle of his career, just... thing is...
Too periodically, well, but often.
He was yeah. so perfectly cast early on... in his teen roles because he was usually like a kind of dangerous guy, you know,
right,
he was
right.
like a bad kid or like the guy like
he could
like,
mean mug. He had that like kind of mm-hmm. like delinquent face a bit.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. But especially if you look at, I mean,
he had that
I mean,
stringy hair and that those bedroom eyes.
But the faculty at the Virgin Suicides are the best
He's
examples.
Like, he had like a sexy Cro-Magnon brow. You yeah. know what I mean? Like, it's just sort of like this weirdly, it's like that, it's again, it's that weird juxtaposition.
Yeah.
Right. Well, because they use his charisma, but either like in the faculty, he's like the kind of dangerous bad kid, but who's
yeah.
also cool and you just like wanna.
And smart and doesn't even have to freaking try.
All of that. And then in the Virgin Suicides, he's the guy who's just like the most effortlessly cool and hot guy in school who,
yeah.
can, who just kind of like, you know, coasts through everything because he
yep.
just gets what he wants. And then it became tougher to cast him when he sort of graduated to adult roles.
Yeah.
And they're just like, I don't know, you're handsome. You're just, you'll be the main character. So what's the deal with the main character? I don't know. He's just a guy.
He's good.
Right.
What else do we got? He's good. He's a good guy.
We should.
He's bad. Well, Josh also just, I guess one last thing is just, he is now like getting, he's older. He's a little older. He's 40. Like
he doesn't look 40 though.
No, he looks great. But what I'm saying is, he's getting into that. He could get into that category that sort of like Clooney-ish kind of like you get older and there's a. I don't see why it would be so hard to cast him as all like
yeah into more
as an
more
why
varied...
an adult suddenly it's like oh well, like what do we do
yeah I know right like
you know
have
like,
him play some more journalists have him play like a politician with a shady past
ooh yeah make him play a seedy politician
yeah
yeah basically he is a charming. Like tall, like physical presence. Like,
yeah.
do something with it. But guys, we should...
Let's move on.
All
right, next question.
That was the first question.
That was the first
so
question.
Let's keep
Thanks,
going.
Mr.
Okay.
Morse code.
Yeah. Well, our
people are going to get shortchanged now and be pissed off.
Unsurprisingly, our second question comes from the Mojo Jojo of the podcast.
Hey!
Chris DeCervo. He says, congrats, boys, for getting this far. Would you think Josh's character in Penny Dreadful will come back for the new series, or do you think they'll just do a throwaway line referring to him?
I don't think they'll do either.
I don't think
he'll be in there, or they'll even reference him. I think John Logan will just write a new show.
I think it's a hard reset in a different part of the... Yeah.
I also think Josh seems
think
like
right.
the type of guy that doesn't like to commit to long-term projects
exactly.
as much as another
and this
actor
one is
would.
Also... Because we believe Josh lives in the UK, and
yeah.
this is a show that will shoot in Los Angeles, presumably.
Yeah.
I hope... Like, I as I've said before, you know, Jake, we have our whole pitch, you know,
yeah.
with all the ookums and spookums.
And it's a viewer rating... series where people send in
yeah.
what ook them the most
right
mosty
the mosty
yeah
and
yeah.
So, and so chance
make
like
it interactive
if I had to put money on it I would say there'll be
future.
No reference to him or maybe there'll be like one line about like so like a man who became a wolf in like season two
yeah
yeah
but I think
but
that'll
be
all
guys like a chupacabra or something
so so moving on
yeah.
what writers and or directors would you like Josh to work or re-team with and actually, okay, that's the first one. Luke Hardy has two questions. So yeah, what filmmakers should Josh work with? I can tell you, I would like to see him work with Sofia Coppola again. She has a lot
100%,
of recurring
yeah,
people that
yeah.
she works with, and I think she gave him one of his very best roles.
She seems oddly perfect. Like, just the types of movies that she makes seem oddly perfect, because there always seems to be a role suited for whatever those abstract qualities are that Josh just carries with him. She's always making movies that seem to have a space for a character with those.
And all her characters are usually pretty reserved and kind of like emotionally distant. And so, which is good, because Josh isn't usually a ball of energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Put him in a Coen Brothers movie.
He's not like Martin Short.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to say
Jack Frost or whatever.
What was that movie with Martin Short where he plays like a child?
Clifford.
Oh, no. I don't even know what that is. It sounds bad.
It's bizarre. Charles Grodin.
Charles Grodin's in it.
Dad.
The kid wants to go to Dinosaur Land.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's Martin Short?
Yeah.
And it's Martin Short.
It's literally just like Martin Short in like his mid-30s or so, maybe like 40. And then I think he's just a child. It's not like a Jack thing where it's like, oh, he's a child, but he's an adult body. It's just he is a child.
And they don't ever explain it away?
No. And also, he's bad.
Bad as in he sucks in the movie, or he's a bad boy?
He's a bad little boy.
He's mischievous. Oh, okay.
He's a little rascal.
Ooh, well, what else could Martin Short be besides mischievous? I mean, the dude is basically a leprechaun. He's so close to being a mischievous little forest creature that has magical powers.
It also...
Exactly.
It was also a legendary financial disaster.
It is.
People did not want to see that movie.
It's fucked up. It fucks with you. Like, he's like, you're like, why is this happening? Why is it Martin Short? Like, but it in for that reason, kind of worth checking out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never
seen the full movie, but I've watched clips on YouTube and it's weird.
Yeah.
But
anyway,
I'm also going to say, in terms of, filmmakers to work with, I'd like to see him work with Michael Bay again. I think he's actually used pretty well in Pearl Harbor, even though it's not a very good movie.
It would be great if Michael Bay does another sort of Pain and Gain style,
nihilistic sort of movie with meatheads in it.
Not even necessarily with the like that thematically similar, but just another passion project by Michael Bay that stars Josh. Partially.
Yeah. Yeah.
All nice and lit and shot by...
Right. And of course...
Commercials. Superstar Michael Bay.
Exactly.
That's true.
But then also, yeah, you mentioned the Coen brothers, and like, yeah, I'm sure they would have something great for him. That would be perfect.
I mean, yeah, you could
just give
them
to a good director.
People. Just list great directors. Because that's also one of the things we were talking about, is like how it might behoove his career moving forward too, to work with some of the more obvious choices. Not that you would call the Coen brothers like the most obvious choice, but more obvious than what he's been currently picking in the
that
smaller projects.
Tarantino Manson movie, he might have had a space in there.
Potential, but also yeah. Like I don't usually that as much as Tarantino is usually like one of the best at like taking actors and using them in new ways that they haven't been used before. Josh doesn't strike me as someone who is like a perfect fit for his like sort of hyperverbal dialogue.
Yeah.
I would put Josh in a Michael Mann film.
Mm. Yeah, Michael Mann's good.
Movies like Michael Mann, who's especially good at usually not a ton of dialogue, very much about tone and atmosphere and using Josh's look and like physical presence in an interesting way.
Yeah.
And that's
a good question. It's tough.
There's a follow-up question from Luke Hardy.
Yeah. What is it?
He says, what would you think of Josh doing a voice in an animated film?
I don't know about that. Yeah, that seems weird.
His voice isn't his most interesting attribute.
As an
actor. And,
well, you just said his voice was nice.
It is nice.
I was trying to do the caveat of it is one note.
It's a smooth, deep voice.
But just put his voice in the place of any voice you can think of in an animated film, and it's like it makes the movie weirder.
Oh yeah,
imagine if he was the voice of one of the toys in the Toy Story movies,
the new Toy Story 4 movie.
He's the spoon.
He's Woody.
No, guys, it's very simple. He's
Jesse.
He's going to star as the title role in the Shrek reboot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, get out of my swamp. Donkey. I have layers like an onion.
It's basically, you know what, it's kind of like Keanu Reeves.
Exactly.
Don't make Keanu Reeves a voice
actor.
It's
hard to break into, extremes with either of those people vocally.
Yeah, their voices are almost too smoky.
Right. I don't think
they can modulate themselves well enough to like be chameleon-like or like adapt to the demands of a new role in terms of, having to change your voice. He can't do accents, really. Mm-mm. I mean, you can see how much of a strain that is on him.
That's a man who needs to just sort of talk quietly like he does.
Yeah. Get out of my swamp. That's how he would say it.
He'd try it really hard.
Exactly. So, I would say
probably no, but
I would be interested in him doing an animated film just because he hasn't done it before, but that would not be one of my top choices. Mm-mm. For Josh. Okay, next question. Ooh, this is a good one. This is from Twitter handle at NotAHero13. Who would be the best co-star in a buddy movie with Josh?
Oh, this is a good one.
I can tell you, not Harrison Ford.
Nope, they don't like each other.
Okay, well, I
Josh think Hartnett. Also, get out of here, Josh Hartnett.
I belong in a museum.
I mean, well,
who'd be good? I
think part of the problem with Hollywood Homicide is you have two actors who are both kind of reserved. You need Josh with like a Chris Tucker.
I'd say Kevin Hart. Have him work with Kevin Hart.
I don't mean Chris Tucker, but I mean someone who is going to be the loud,
more like loud
one.
And vivacious, and has that energy. Kevin Hart.
So someone like sort of more urban, a little louder.
Some short.
Well, Martin Short would be somebody that fits that description. You know
Martin
what I mean?
Martin Short. Oh,
put Josh with Martin Short.
Wait, that's actually fucking yes. Awesome.
I would watch Josh and Martin Short.
He's a buddy cop movie.
And he's just a total mental case partner.
No, he's
and
Clifford grown up.
He's grown up Clifford, who looks exactly the same because he played him as an adult.
But it's with more wrinkles.
Yeah. Because Martin Short was the best part of Inherent Vice.
Yeah.
Like, I would say one of the best.
Josh Brolin, I think, takes,
yeah, you're right.
He takes that movie away.
But I feel like Martin Short is
one of the best cameos.
Comedic cameos in the whole film. Because he just brings the energy way, way up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think of eating the weed is so fucking funny.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
But
best part of the whole movie.
I'm trying to think of like current really energetic actors.
Yeah.
Probably like Logan Paul or something. Matt Ox.
Hook him up with a YouTube personality. Yeah,
make him a ninja be in a
me.
TV show together.
Make him a ninja. Oh, and it's a movie like,
one of those,
you know,
fucking idiots with like purple hair that's like, hey guys, we're playing League of Legends.
You know Fortnite's gonna be a movie pretty goddamn
soon.
Yeah,
put Josh
There's
in the
no
Fortnite
way that's
movie.
Not turning into a movie franchise.
Make Josh floss dance.
Yeah.
The question is, will I entirely know what Fortnite is by the time the movie comes out?
The answer is no.
Right now I know that it is a game that people play on phones.
And it's making people dance.
I mean,
I like Fortnite.
What's the connection between Fortnite and floss dancing?
There's a bunch of character dance animations that you can sort of just do, and you can, like, you know, get new ones and stuff. And because the game is so popular, it just, you know, everyone knows how to do them. It's kind of touching. There was a video online, and this kid just started doing, like, one of the dances, and his dad was filming it and laughing. And then, like, he turns around, and they're, like, in a McDonald's or something.
Right.
And then, like, outside, there's another kid just, like, pointing at that kid, and then they both start doing the dance, and the dad's just like, what is this? He doesn't even know that kid. And they're just doing the same dance over and over.
That's kind
of
cute.
And I'm like, you know, as much of a dark pit of dread in the stomach that this creates for a lot of adults, I think, when they see their kids just doing weird shit that they don't understand all at once.
I don't understand.
You know, that used to be what was called the wholesome sharing of culture and community.
That's true, and now it's become a nightmare for parents.
Yeah, but also, you know, Fortnite, whatever. It's like a weird free game for babies.
Yeah.
We're too cool for it.
So, yeah, Martin
Not
Short
me.
For buddies, for a buddy guy. Yeah, give
that
him Martin Short.
Or like a Kevin Hart.
Give him Martin Short, Kevin Hart.
Why can't I remember her name? That comedian, she did that special when she was pregnant.
Ali Wong?
Ali Wong.
Ooh.
Oh.
Ali Wong might be interesting. She's hilarious.
Actually, yeah. And, no, yeah, she would be good. Is she in movies?
She seems like she
could be,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Honestly, it's kind of funny that she's not. Maybe. She seems like one of these people that I'm surprised hasn't been forced down our throats yet. You know what I mean? Like when people get super famous and then they're in too many movies suddenly at once. And you're like, I like them, but they're in too many now suddenly.
Dang. Well, and, she had a kid.
Well, it's kind of right. I mean, like, this was the year that, in terms of just Asian female comedians, like, Awkwafina was in a bunch of stuff.
Right. That's
and
true.
So, actually,
yeah. And Crazy Rich Asians just came out and was a huge
smash
success.
And she was in that.
Success. Yeah.
And, but, like, actually, I would she would be good with Josh as well. Actually, so would Constance Wu, star of Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, okay.
And so, yeah, either one would be good.
We're missing out on a good one. He should partner up with Lucy Liu. We saw their chemistry already.
Yes!
And it was what we wanted Lucky Number 11 to secretly just be.
Yeah.
Yeah, and have
was
her...
Was their annoying-ass dialogue for the whole movie.
Well,
but that's Lucky Number 11's fault, not
exactly.
Fault.
They were good.
Yeah,
like,
they
remember,
looked still cute despite that.
Our main takeaway was we kind of wish it was just a romantic comedy with
yeah.
them.
Right.
Also, I would like to see her play weird.
Yeah.
And have him be the more... be like the straight man.
Yeah.
That could be really fun.
Okay.
And,
that answers your question
okay.
enough, sir.
Good question. Okay.
you won't get another word about it from us.
Okay. This person asked a bunch of questions, so
I'll try to, better be good.
Go through
I'm
fast.
Want
to
and okay. And wait. And their Twitter handle is at Kasokai's Lament. I don't know what that means, but thank you for the questions. Okay. This is tough. the first one is pitch the perfect project for him.
No. All right, I'll think about it. I'll think about it.
We've already said... That's,
do your own work.
I feel like that's too open-ended, and we've said a bunch of stuff already that we'd like to see him in.
Yeah, you can sort of, like, reverse engineer it from what we've said.
Who could be his best acting partner? We've
talked about
that.
It's Martin Short.
What genres is he good or bad for? We pretty much covered that.
Yeah.
Actually, their last question is a good one.
Okay.
This is a good... chance for me to give a different answer to something I said earlier.
This is
how
Mr.
would
Lament.
You, how would you approach him in public?
I
we would not chloroform him. Matt, were you going to say otherwise?
What was that?
That is a really good question. Okay, this is a hypothetical. We live in New York City. Actors show up here, right? I just bumped into Jake Gyllenhaal like 2 days
your
ago.
Your good buddy, Jakey
my
G.
My best friend.
So, but in that case, and wait, like, I'm Jake too.
That's what I said.
But you didn't
and
say
then
that.
I started just tugging feebly at his coat.
Jake as well.
We.
And he went, get off of me. And then he called the cops and I got arrested.
He went, ew, get away. I'm him.
You're Jake and I'm Jake. We're Jakes.
And then I threw up all over his pants.
We're like
I'm sorry I ate soup.
We're like the Jack Nicholson film, The Two Jakes.
Everybody's seen that one. What was the question?
How would
we approach him in real life?
Not like that, because you don't
my
have
my pants would fall down
Jake.
Inadvertently.
Yeah, you'd have
I would have a boner.
You'd have a huge boner and you would throw up all over the front of your belly. Because your shirt would disintegrate for some reason.
Yeah, my shirt would just disintegrate.
And you'd go,
I think that's what we can guarantee.
So if that answers your question, that's good.
No, let's be honest, though.
Okay.
We're walking down the street, and we see Josh, which would I feel like it would send a surge of adrenaline.
We would
to my
freeze.
Body.
Also, hypothetically, he's alone, not with Tamsin or his kids.
If he's with anybody else, you leave him alone. Yeah. Like don't bother people when they're with their family. Like that's crazy. If he's walking by himself and he's begging to be talked to,
He's literally not talking to anyone.
Yeah,
so it's gonna be you.
Well, here's the thing. So we have this podcast that he might be... It would take a... Our podcast, I think, for him, would take a little bit of explaining before he wouldn't just be creeped out and think we're a bunch of weirdos.
Exactly.
Right?
Like, if you say, like, we have a podcast about you.
So meeting him in the street is the most abrupt, like, cold call version way of meeting somebody. And I feel like I almost don't think we would be able to get him to understand what we're talking about and not be immediately alarmed.
It would sound so crazy.
Because we'd be like... Josh, I'm a big fan, and he'd be like, you know, because
thanks, man.
He probably wants to be left alone no matter what.
Also, the odds of us, the three people in the world with a podcast about Josh Hartnett, then running into Josh Hartnett, like, we don't want him to think that we stalked him.
That's a really good point.
It would have to...
I honestly think we shouldn't talk to him if we bump into
him.
Because I think it would just thoroughly creep him out.
I mean, honestly, if anything, and kind of like how Jake...
I love that we've arrived at this conclusion. And we shouldn't talk to him. It would
kind
be
of like
really harmful to us and him.
How Jake did not talk to Jake Gyllenhaal, I don't tend to talk to famous people that I see, even though I see far fewer famous people than Jake does.
One time I saw Dan Harmon at Comic-Con.
I remember this.
I'm going to go talk to him, I think.
Yeah.
And then
you walked near
everyone
him.
Watched me just walk to him and then just past him and then just back down the elevator.
No, Matt, yeah. You waved to waved. Us while you were near Dan Harmon, and we all shook our heads disappointedly.
And then he went slowly down an escalator and you watched him.
I will say, the
I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I know, it's embarrassing.
The
it's
only famous
to
person I've ever actually talked to at something was Peter Capaldi at a Comic-Con
that
party.
Rules.
Yeah.
And that was because my mom loves Doctor Who, and she loves Peter Capaldi. And before I went to Comic-Con, she was like, and if you see the Doctor, get a picture with him for me.
Yeah.
And then I was like, my mom asked me to, and he's 5 feet away.
Yeah.
I will.
I would want to just
and
be-
I did say, my mom... like
my mom.
I'm a huge
you.
Fan. I love In the Loop.
Yeah.
Love Doctor Who. Also, my mom loves you and wanted me to get a picture with. And I did.
That's a
she
good
was
way
happy.
In though.
That's like that would win me over. I'm like, hey, your mom.
Yeah, he was also very nice.
Yo, what's up?
I think the only way we can get Josh on the podcast and communicate with him is through more official channels.
I will say, if I did happen to encounter him in the wild, I probably would say nothing, knowing myself. I'm scared of everything. But if I did say anything, I would probably say, oh, Lucy was great.
Yes. Actually, I think your technique is the best way to go at actors, especially someone like Josh, who I think is aware that not a lot of people have seen most of his stuff, to give him props for Oh, Lucy, which is for sure something that he's the most recently proud of.
Right.
It's would actually like and don't talk, don't mention the podcast, but just be like, I saw Oh, Lucy, you were fucking hilarious in it. It was a great film. I just wanted to say,
I'm
a big fan.
You
should be in more stuff. I'm a big fan. Because chances are, even if he gets in the podcast after that, he won't really remember who our faces were. So it's not like he'd be like, "All you were somebody I bumped into on the street. You were the one Oh, Lucy fan.
Yeah, you acted so casual. You didn't want me to know about this, did you?
And you're like, I put a bug on you and I traced you back to your
and I worked at the grocery store.
I know what the frosting was.
I know what you eat.
You had asparagus yesterday.
Yeah, how's your pee smell? Oh, boy.
So,
next question, please.
Next.
So, good question. Ooh.
Keep taking on my...
Here's one
putting
by,
on my
by Maxim.us.
Okay.
Best use
cool
of
website.
Josh's eyes in his filmography.
I think 40 Days and
he
40 Nights.
He should be in freaking Detective Pikachu, because he looks like Brock.
Oh, actually, yes. Well, I mean, guys,
he looked like Brock.
There's still time to add Josh Hartnett as Brock in reshoots for Detective Pikachu, but I would say 40 Days and 40 Nights, because that's where he has to force his small eyes open the widest.
For him stretching himself out of his comfort zone, best use of his eyes, though, what was that article we read that talked about his searing, sizzling look from The Faculty when he turns his head and looks back?
That recent article.
The
one from The Ringer.
Point. Yeah, there's a Ringer article that talks about a scene in The Faculty where Josh keeps his eyes closed for an interesting amount of time, and it highlighted something I didn't notice when we were watching.
The argument with Famke Janssen or whatever.
Yeah, the argument with
Famke
Janssen.
Where he looks away from her
for what
seems like too long, and then...
And then
hits her with the look,
and
direct.
Then turns back. Yeah, the article by Shea Serrano.
Yeah,
yeah, read that. That's a good
eyeball
usage. That
article is really
usage.
Funny because it's really fawning.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like there's like, I love her. He's so hot. Oh.
Yeah,
and it's nice when we, the people with the Josh Hartnett podcast, are like, whoa, that's a little extreme.
Yeah, chill
Josh.
Out, weirdo.
Well, because it just lingers on these weird moments, and like, it's just weird to like call for the, remember this guy? Like, let's bring him back. He was great, but then like. Just linger on the like a couple movies that he made when he was extremely young.
Okay, next question.
I'm just thinking of you working at the
next
grocery
question.
Store.
Yeah, this is by @PitchChristian.
Oh, Cocoa Puffs again. Interesting.
The question is: if you could work with any person in Hollywood on a film, why would it be Josh Hartnett?
If I could work with anybody on a film, why would it be Josh Hartnett?
I can answer that question.
It's got
because
a question.
Because there is no person in the film industry who I have studied in the same detail and with the same length as Josh Hartnett. I feel like I understand his range and work as an actor better than any other actor, and I think if I got to work with him, I would have a good idea of how to. I hate to say how to use him because it's a collaborative medium.
Right, right.
But his potential on screen I think I have a good sense of how I might work with Josh Hartnett, and that's why I would want to work with him.
Can I just ditto that? I mean, it's just like, I think we know, we've seen enough of his range of work to be able to know if there was a role in a project we were working on when it was a role that we were like, oh, yeah, I know that we can use him.
If
in
a
that
role,
part.
That's the that's the clarification. If
we know where he can stretch to, where, you know,
yeah. So honestly, Josh, work with us.
How stretchy he is.
Like, yeah, Josh, you should be working with us. Like, yeah, we understand you.
Yeah. We have scripts we want to give you.
Okay, next question from Spam Christian is, what do I do with
Spam
my...
Spam Christian?
I don't know. What do I do with my shirt, presumably a We Heart Heartnet shirt? You should...
Wear it. Put it on your torso.
You should put it on... Yeah, cover your torso with it. And also, I will say...
stop, Jake. Stop.
Sorry.
The merch store is currently... I hit the pause button on it because we're revamping the merch, and there will be new We Heart Heartnet shirts available in the near future.
Get ready.
Yeah.
We're doing personal ones, right, where there's a shirt for each of our faces individually, right?
Sure. Okay. Next question is from Tanta, or maybe Tanta. Ooh, I don't know.
Like Tanta Liza.
Okay, here's this one, Matt. This is for you. Which of Josh's abs is your favorite?
Probably the middle left one.
Great. Okay, next question from Richard Mark Bradley. Will the series be followed by We Heart Hartnell, a career summary of the English character actor and first doctor William Hartnell?
No. Absolutely not.
No. Ooh, here's a good one from Brian Kaiser. Kaiser from California.
Yes, that is a little strong
deep cut Homestar Runner reference that I could not resist. Where would you like to see Josh's career in 10 years?
Apex, the peak. No one knows any other actors.
Everyone else dies.
It's just the clumps with Josh.
We get clumps, we get Norbit. It's all Josh, yeah, though. That's the thing.
I don't know, just doing well.
Yeah, doing well, being like, in projects that are cool. It's really hard to say.
Like absolutely like self-destructing things or things that get no publicity.
Yeah. I will say my suggestion, because Josh is 40 now, so this is where he is when he's 50. In terms of actors who are around that age, I would say he should just look at what Keanu Reeves has done.
Yeah.
For someone in there who I think is now in like his mid-50s.
Yeah.
And I would just say, like, look at Keanu in terms of what to do around that period in your career.
Yeah, be John Wick.
Yeah.
And
just get your own John Wick. Just do that.
It's
be
weird,
Knock
though,
Knock.
Because, like, isn't that a kind of oblique way of saying, figure the fuck out what your strengths are and start being in things that are different but don't require you to be particularly different?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Figure out your
correct. Okay, all right.
You are correct.
Exactly. Just okay. Ooh, here's okay. This is a very good question.
Yeah, my answer is I hope Josh is well in 10 years.
Yeah.
I hope he's doing well.
I hope he's doing really happy and successful. This is from Jennifer Lynn Crone. What is the number one thing you want to ask Josh if he ever came on the show?
I haven't ranked what my like most pressing question is. I have a bunch, but like, what is my
number one?
Like, if we could each only ask him one question, it would have to be like one of those questions where it feels like a hack, where it's like a question that makes him answer all of the questions, but said only.
What do you think of the choices you've made in the past 20 years?
If you had to summarize your life, do it.
Account for your actions. It's just a demand. It's not even a question.
I'm freezing up a bit. I don't know.
That is a very good question.
Oh my god! Like one question, because I'm like, I want to ask about Blow Dry, or I want to ask about Town and Country.
I know, but like, if we had him on the show, and the only thing we got solved was like, did you have anything to do with what was the original script of Blow Dry like? And he was like, I'm not really sure. And then we're like, fuck, we only had one question, and he just goes home.
Right,
well,
I mean, because
each
like,
get one.
I kind of want to say, what would it take to get you to do a mainstream studio film again?
I know what I would ask him. He is interested, and this is based on other interviews that I've heard him talk about, in producing and directing his own projects. I would ask him although he might not want to say that on a podcast, but I would, if I just had to ask him and pretending it's not even being recorded, I would just ask him what he's interested in working on. Like, what is the project that he has, is his passion project?
Yeah.
What is he working on? What does he want to do for himself? Like, what does he want to direct?
Relatedly,
yeah.
I would ask him, you know, almost like off of that answer, like, how do you find being older now and having gone through the machine and being a parent affects your enthusiasms about this art that you participate in?
He has talked about that.
For real?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so fuck that. I don't. Never mind.
Okay, I'm just gonna say, I know you guys are getting like big and philosophical about about big career choices.
It's still blow dry for you?
No.
What the heck is going on in that movie? My
question is, will you please tell me everything about the production of Town and Country?
That's not bad because it's like one of his first projects.
That's a whole podcast.
You'd also get bits about him getting into film too.
Yes, that would cover so much. As much as I really wanted dig into the latter half of his career and his move away from Hollywood.
Yeah.
I realize I can cover all that I want to in one question there. So I'm just going to go straight to the thing that I want to know the most about Town and Country.
Did I tell you guys about the time when me and Rachel went to go see John Krasinski made a movie in 2009, his directorial debut, which was an adaptation of Brief Interviews with Hideous Men, the David Foster Wallace book.
Yeah.
And we saw that movie, and John Krasinski was supposed to come out for a Q&A afterwards.
Uh-huh.
And everybody that was there to see that movie was, I mean, it felt like that was the whole audience, was just girls that liked him and Pam. As Jim and Pam in The Office.
That
and it was
sucks.
So funny. Me and Rach were cracking up by the end because he steps out. He's directed his first movie. You can tell he's like trying to move away from The Office a little bit and like stretch his boundaries and develop a career for himself. And everybody's like, I'd love to take questions from the audience. This is something I've been totally passionate about. I love David Foster Wallace's work. And then, do we have any questions? And these hands all go up.
And he's like, yes.
He's like, are you as cute in real life as you are? Like, questions that almost made no sense. They're like, are you as cute in real life as you are on the show? I know that answer. It's yes. And he's like, thanks. And then somebody
Thank
was
you.
Like, are you and Pam dating, but like in real life? And he was just, I want to talk about Brief Interviews with Hideous Men, please. And everybody was just asking about The Office and saying that he was cute. And me and Rach were starting to laugh like so hard by the end of the Q&A.
When you put the stapler in the Jell-O, how mad did Dwight get?
Yeah, he was very polite though.
You know, Rain
took all
is
the
a real
well.
Man, and he so I mean,
yeah,
he's fine. He got mad. His character got mad.
Okay, okay. I can say okay. Next question.
Next.
Yeah.
So this one is from Drew Deitch. What movie that you've covered has been your favorite? I think we'll actually get to that
we'll get
in
to
our
that.
Rankings.
Yeah,
we're gonna do ranks. But also, which movie had the best use of Josh Hartnett?
That kind of... No, I guess it doesn't correlate.
Those
favorite.
Are different. I'm going to say I think Virgin Suicides had the best use of him.
It does correlate,
Yeah, I think I'd agree.
That is just in terms of like, that is the movie that I... For me, it is the hardest to imagine anyone else in that role. And
Penny
doing
Dreadful
it as well.
Gets kind of close for me.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah,
but it doesn't
Penny
quite
Dreadful's
work
good.
As well, but it's close.
So next one, from the Film Assist blog, how has this experience changed your life, and what will you take from it for the next year?
A year is gone, and I'm closer to death.
Free radicals
are deteriorating my body.
And yet Matt still listens to the band The Free Radicals more than ever.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good. The song is so good.
Wake up, kids. You got the dreamer's disease.
I will say... mostly what I've learned from this is how to do a podcast.
Yeah,
sure.
I've learned how to sustain a conversation for longer than like, you know, 5 minutes.
You two have gotten better about
talking
about not doing your inside jokes off mic that you giggle at and then alienating the audience. So
no, we try and let you in.
Yeah, yeah, let
right,
you
no,
into
no.
our sick minds.
Our twisted. Oh,
exactly. Yeah. But that's good. It's like you've been more inclusive.
I like to think, yeah, I think I'm maybe, now I'm going to like shit on my own idea, but it's like, I think I got better at talking. Or I mean, just better at maybe just rambling with you two specifically. Yeah. I think that's all I can
I
say.
I haven't noticed skills from this podcast carrying over to my conversations
I
with other
people. I got a promotion at my job from this podcast, though.
Yeah, I told my my boss that I was doing a Josh Hartnett podcast. She gave me a corner office, make $100,000 a year now. Yeah.
Please. It's okay. Good. Ooh, here's a good one. This is from Louis Loza. If you could replace... You guys laugh every time I say someone's name.
I know. Honestly... you know what it is? Alliteration is funny.
Yeah.
Louis Loza.
If you could replace an actor in a non-Hartnett movie with Josh Hartnett, who would it be?
An actor in a... Say it
again. So I think it's like... replace an actor in a movie with Josh Hartnett. Like, put them in that role.
Oh, I have like a... I had a theory that I think I mentioned.
I already did
on
it.
A couple.
Jamie Dornan in the fall.
That's good. Also,
dude, Fifty Shades of Grey, the whole trilogy.
Josh Hartnett.
Josh and Dakota Johnson just whipping each other.
God damn it, that sounds like such a good... I'll just
that's
off
good.
That movie.
I think, and I've said this before, that Josh could weirdly be good in almost... Maybe not quite as good because it's just hard to compare him, but I think he would be interesting in almost any project that Ethan Hawke has also been in.
Yeah.
I don't know if the two actors are comparable because obviously...
Oh, imagine Josh in Boyhood.
But Josh is the dad in Boyhood. Josh as maybe the romantic partner alongside Julie Delpy in the Before trilogy.
Okay,
I'm not saying that it's 100% better.
Josh as the vampire in Daybreakers.
Yeah.
Actually, Josh should play a vampire. He's been a werewolf.
And he has been a vampire for a little bit.
He should play a Frankenstein. I thought we talked about this. He should be a mummy.
He should do a mummy.
He's going to
be a lagoon creature.
He's got to be every spookum.
Yeah. He's got to be every ooky spooky creature out there. He should turn into a bat.
Batman.
And
be a man.
Yeah.
And then he's a ghost, and that's about it.
Those are all the monsters. Replace Christian Bale with Josh in Batman Begins and The Prestige.
I named every monster, so we're done.
Okay.
I almost forgot freaking Goblin.
Oh, it's so spooky.
I'm so scared. Let's stop.
Did you already say mummy?
Yeah, we said mummy.
We said mummy. I said the joke I made about the mummy, and it's just a sweet old British lady who has two children.
and then the mummy returns.
Porridge mummy.
And then the mummy returns.
and then
mummy tomb of the dragon ever.
That's when she takes her kids to the museum.
Yeah, and they have a great time. And she's just, it's like Paddington. Just like the mummy returns from the gross we stole with the friggin' Toso's twiddles.
Okay, guys, the next two questions are from friend of the podcast, Sarah DeForest.
Hey, Sarah.
What's up, Sarah? Defoe.
She says, which, if any, movies do you think Josh regrets doing?
Oh,
quite a few.
I'm going to say Blow Dry.
Yes, Blow Dry.
I'm going to say more recently.
Town and Country, probably.
Yeah, Town and Country, but I think...
Well,
But he's barely...
He's not marketed as like a key part of that.
Do you think he is embarrassed by 40 Days and 40 Nights?
Even I don't know.
Hard to say.
I'm going to say no. I've seen enough recent interviews, like when he's promoting Penny Dreadful, where that movie gets brought up, and he seems fine with it.
Like I think probably because he wants to do more comedy, and it's like one of the few things he can
and
hold up.
And it was
up.
Successful.
Yeah. And there is stuff that he probably doesn't regret doing that he's disappointed how it turned out. Like Mozart and the Whale. He probably doesn't regret doing the project, but is bummed that it didn't end up being this thing
like
that he wanted to do.
That's what feels like a lot of them probably are.
Yeah.
Right. August.
You know,
exactly.
He makes these deliberate, very deliberate choices throughout his entire career thus far. Everything seems pretty considered. But in these ways where it's like, yeah, but you considered kind of the wrong thing.
I think he can only be truly embarrassed by his early films where he didn't have that agency.
Blow Dry. Here's a question, actually. The sirens, the criminals are out in
murder.
Full force. Yeah, just like a murder spree happening down
Manhattan,
the streets below.
The Big Onion.
But actually, that'd be a question for Josh. What are your regrets about your career? But and second question from Sarah. She says, I always enjoy highs and lows. Go around the table and share your favorite and least favorite moments from his career.
Should we just wait until the ranking thing, though? Because that's really consonant with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I will say, I think my favorite might have been just his era of doing movies where he's in high school. where he's playing a teen.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of small things I don't know I really like.
And then and
I love him teaching English in Oh Lucy.
That's really, really good.
Yeah, just putting ping pong balls in people's mouths, yeah. And trying to and basically looking completely absurd and like he's a complete hack and just nobody realizes it because they don't speak English.
I yeah. like I like him getting some action fight choreography in Bunraku.
Yeah, the trapeze fight.
That's also fun.
The trapeze fight, that kind of like final sequence, video game basically sequence, is pretty fun.
Yeah, I'm thinking of,
and he looks so cool in like the drifter.
He looks great.
Gear, yeah.
Okay, but like least favorite moments.
I don't think a lot of people like. I personally like it, but I don't think you guys really liked the flower petal sex scene in 40 Days and 40 Nights.
Oh no, I both love and hate it.
Which yeah. It's funny because this is Sarah's question, and I was talking to her, and she was like, "I wish I was a guest in that episode." And you're wrong about the flower petal sex scene. It was the hottest thing in the world.
It's great.
How old were you when you watched that, though, Sarah? Or like, yeah, I don't know, like,
were you 14?
Yeah, this is ludicrous.
It's like a beautiful music video. It should just be a music video. It shouldn't be a scene in a movie.
Right, but that's also not like a low point for me. I think one of the parts where I was just bored, like, I don't know, parts per billion or something. Just
Per billion was a pretty, just basically
or
an
wild horses.
Slog. Wild Horses was more interesting than
also,
parts per billion.
Can I just
parts
say,
per billion had a beautiful message.
Speaking of Wild Horses,
that connectivity.
A couple days ago, I saw Widows. And Robert Duvall is great in it.
Yeah.
And, like, he can still be really good.
He's fine.
He's good in Wild Horses, though, too. He's not the problem.
Kind of. He's all right. He's fine.
He plays a doddering old man.
Like, the movie's bad. The acting was, like, one of the only things I liked about Wild Horses.
Yeah, but only for a couple people.
You didn't like all the acting.
Yeah, you didn't
horses.
Like all the acting. You know, certain.
You're forgetting certain lead
wives.
Characters.
Oh God!
Wives
I blotted it out, and you put it back in. I hate
Robert
Duvall.
Maybe one of the worst performances I've had to watch in a
hold
long time.
Hold on one moment. Let me call you back. I'm being shot.
Just
okay.
Hold on.
Fucking stupid.
They're shooting me.
Okay, I'm skipping questions that like repeat ones from
me
earlier.
In the face, but then I walk out. But I love you.
Okay. So we've covered that one. Carolyn Crow brought up the fact that Josh looks he looks a lot like young Tommy Lee Jones.
Yes.
And which is true. If you look at the picture of young Tommy Lee Jones.
I got to look,
and,
sorry.
And they should play father and son. Josh could play young Tommy Lee Jones in flashbacks. But they should play this like either related characters or the same character in movies. That's my only thought on that.
I don't know. I believe you that he looks like young Tommy Lee Jones.
Let's see. Are there any specific ways in which your opinion of Josh has changed over the course of doing the podcast?
Yes, 100%.
This is from Josh Price. Yeah, because
I feel like that's what we got to talk about at the end, though.
We began as Hartnett agnostics, and we're fans now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we had what I think was a pretty common opinion, which is that we didn't have any strong feelings about him, good or bad, because it was just like, what has this guy been in?
Right.
I had no idea.
I mean, still, most people, when you ask, don't know of Josh Hartnett or are aware of the same thing most people are aware of.
Their reaction is usually, oh yeah, him.
Oh yeah, the Faculty.
It's funny, I was explaining the podcast to someone last night, and the assumption was that we did it because he's like a handsome actor. And I was like, no, we didn't have any strong opinions about him at all.
I want to do a podcast about freaking Paul Giamatti.
Well, Josh Hartnett was funny just in the initial idea of the podcast because we didn't have strong feelings. So it was a little funny that we would pretend like we did. And then inadvertently now we do.
We kind of faked it till we make it did it.
Yes.
And oh boy, did we make it did it.
We made it.
And that's
for
what we're wearing diapers.
We made it a big make.
Ooh. Okay, here's one.
Next question.
Okay, here's one that I think, I don't know if you guys will have opinions on this, but I will have an opinion.
I'll pretend I have an opinion.
Okay.
What is
it? I'll fake it till I make it.
So this is from Brendan Agnew. If hashtag...
What are you, Spiro Agnew's freaking grandson?
Nice one, dude.
Yeah.
Roast him.
Way to roast our listeners. If hashtag Josh Hartnett for Batman ever pans out, what's the ideal storyline you could see him Bruce Wayne-ing it up in?
Oh, man.
I'll just say a storyline that I like that I've read recently, which is I like the Morrison one where he gets interrogated and he has to delve back into his own psyche to fight his way out of being psychologically tortured.
Batman Batman of Zur-En-Arr?
Boom. That's it.
Does that have
the only reason I'm saying it is because it's the only one I know off the top of my head that I remember liking.
Does that have Batmite?
Yeah, Batmite shows up in that one. That's he becomes a homeless man who loses his memory and just puts together this costume made out of scraps of different colored fabric, and he's the Batman of Zur-En-Arr.
Yes.
It's great.
Yes, that one for me.
I love that. I love the whole Morrison run.
Oh, man, yeah. More sirens. Oh, I hope Batman's out catching these
criminals.
I will say, someone pointed this out on Twitter that Josh, like in a tuxedo, is very reminiscent of the Greg Capullo drawings of Batman in the run written by Scott Snyder. I could see The Court of Owls, which was their first big story, being a good movie.
Court of Owls would be a great, yeah.
And I could see Josh working in that. Like, for instance, I was just this past week, I went to see the re-release for the 25th anniversary of Batman Mask of the Phantasm, which is, in my opinion, the best Batman movie. And I was talking to my sister afterwards about how, like, I think if that were just done in live action, it would be, like, a classic. It would be perfect. But I'm not sure Josh is the best suited for some of the material in that movie. I'm not sure that would be the one that I'd put him in, but I'm going to say a Court of Owls adaptation, I think.
I'm going to say,
what are you saying, Matt?
Not out now to Batman story, but Red Son, the Superman.
Where he's Russian Batman?
Where he's Russian Batman trying to stop Superman from being basically a dictatorial alien.
That would be good.
I think that would be fun. And
that's basically the plot of Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice, though.
Except it's good, and that movie is bad.
And I don't like Mark Millar and whatever. But
I think general audiences would be confused. They'd be like, "Isn't this just Batman v Superman? But now he has a Russian accent for some reason."
Well, it's not the main plot. The Batman part of that is literally like not even a quarter of the book.
Oh. Yeah, it's about like just this alternate history where, you know, Superman basically runs this giant dictatorship.
Yeah, he ends up running the Soviet Union.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, thinks he's like, yeah.
It's one of the best, like, Mark Millar is frustrating because it's like when he tries, like with that, he can be really good.
But and that is Morrison adjacent because he was script help.
Yeah, Morrison did help.
Interesting, okay.
By, like, pitching the idea.
Because Millar was like Morrison's protege, and they had a falling out and then stopped speaking. And anyway, okay, next question.
Millar?
Guys, final...
It's a bunch of Millarkey.
Nice one, Grant.
Final question, and this one is related.
Okay.
This is from at DFontaneous. Okay. You've often talked about Josh missing the opportunity to be Batman and how he should be given another shot.
Agreed.
We agree. But my question is, who would you like to see him as in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Which makes sense because this is an era where everyone has to be in a comic book movie.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Everyone's got
to
do it.
You go to jail if you're not anymore. It's a really weird time we live in.
It's a state-imposed punishment.
And then all three of us have court dates because we're not in Marvel movies.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to go up to the courthouse and they like put a tight costume on you and they make you run past a green screen and you scream a line and then it's like, good, you served your time.
You're good for the next 7 years before you have to run by a green screen in tights
and then
again.
They put a brand on you, a big Marvel brand.
Well, it's really a thing where you've just got to be in a comic book movie.
Yeah.
Or at least one, because like Lawrence Fishburne is in both the DC movie universe and the Marvel movie universe.
Yeah, I think that Josh should play the main character in Fun Home.
Alison Bechdel.
He'd be a great Alison Bechdel, yeah. Yeah,
he would pass the Bechdel test by being her.
I think we've said before, Josh would be a good Moon Knight.
Oh yeah, you've mentioned that before.
Have him be just in a white suit, praying to like Khonshu, his moon god.
Yeah, that kind of does rule. Yeah,
and actually, you know what? I could also see Josh being kind of like a kind of depressed, deadbeat Hawkeye, like the Fraction Aja run.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Just like hanging out in Brooklyn. I could see that.
I don't know if I have an answer to this. I don't think I know Marvel characters besides who are in the Avengers.
Jake, like, pay attention to the current zeitgeist.
I know.
Come
I
on,
know.
Man.
I know.
It's 2018.
We're listening to freaking Beethoven. And
I told you I was watching Bergman.
Not Batman.
Cries and Whispers.
Yeah. Bergman, not Batman.
Fanny and Alexander. That's who Josh should be.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm reading thick novels.
THICC novels.
Yes. From 1800s or earlier in the time.
Yeah, because everything else after that is tripe.
Yeah. I'm reading...
And it's all funny books.
I'm reading Pushkin.
I'm reading Proust.
Okay, I'm going to stop this now. Guys, that is the end of the questions. It is now time. It's the time that everyone has been waiting for, where we deliver our rankings of Josh Hartnett's films.
Should we do our top five or our bottom five first? I say bottom, right?
I say our top five because I think there'll be more similarities there. And, and bottom five will be, that'll be where the discussion
is. But then we're ending
is.
On a sour note. Well, whatever. We'll just end on a positive note.
Well, then I have my separate ranking of Hartnett performances.
I'm reading.
You
the
ranked
criticism
the performances and
Bloom.
The movies too?
Yeah, I didn't rank every performance. I just ranked like I just like a top five.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so my top five Josh Hartnett movies.
Number one.
Or, well,
oh no, that's number five. I don't know how anything works.
Okay, my number five is Penny Dreadful. Which is not a movie, but it's a project that we spent 3 weeks discussing.
That's true. I did not include it in my list.
You idiot. Because
it was TV, and I thought it was movie.
We spent 3 weeks discussing it.
We told you that TV's short movies make a big long movie.
And I didn't learn.
Yeah, anyway.
2018, TV is movies now.
Yeah. Okay.
Get real. Okay, okay, Jake, what's your number five on your list without Penny Dreadful?
On my list without Penny Dreadful, that's like a bonus-ode. It doesn't even make sense. It's a
3 weeks of bonus episodes.
Yeah. Number five, Sin City. And I know we're talking about movies, not Josh Hartnett performances. Remember that. He's not in that movie a lot, but that's my favorite movie that he was in.
That's cool, Matt.
That is also how I judged my ranking, and therefore also Sin City.
Oh,
that's what's up.
Sin City was my number seven.
Ooh.
More like your number 11.
Number 11 was further down the list. Yeah. My number four is The Faculty.
Boom. Faculty for number four going two times now.
And make that a triple.
Yeah!
Time.
Faculty is all of our number fours. Choice. Our favorite film.
Oh, boy. Okay. It's time for number three.
Number three.
Oh, my number three is Oh, Lucy.
My number three is Black Hawk Down.
Whoa. Mine is also Oh, Lucy.
Oh.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh. And my number two is Black Hawk Down.
And my number two is Oh, Lucy.
And my number two is Black Hawk Down. Hell yeah, dude.
I like Oh, Lucy better than Black Hawk Down. What can I say?
That's fine.
You're not a man.
And you don't do push-ups.
You don't even do one crunch. And I shave my head and I eat raw meat.
And I drink eggs, no
guys,
water.
It's time.
Never water. I never had a drop of water. Just eggs.
Guys, number one Josh Hartnett movie time. We spent a year to get to this point.
Oh, yeah.
And it, for me, it's The Virgin Suicides.
It's Virgin Suicides.
It's Virgin Suicides.
We said it, everybody. It's The Virgin Suicides.
See, this is why I wanted to do top five first, because I figured we would be pretty similar.
Guys, The Virgin Suicides fucking rules. That's a great film.
It's funny. Yeah. I feel like it's gone up in my esteem over the course of the podcast.
Yes.
It's such a strange little movie, and I love it.
Yeah. And it's also, it's Josh is so good in it.
He's so good.
Like, just that's the tone of it, just like the feeling of claustrophobia, the weird, dreamy suburb kind of like...
The soundtrack by Air that I know some people were annoyed we didn't discuss on our episode.
Yeah, people like Air a lot.
The weird fact that it's way funnier than you think it's going to be.
And kind of, and definitely like inexplicable in this weird way that isn't dissatisfying. It's just...
intriguing.
It's just, you're just kind of like disconcerted, which I think is the point.
Yeah. It's it really holds up. I should have picked up the Criterion edition in the recent Criterion sale.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was
What's
a mistake
you?
Of you.
I know, I bought different movies.
Oh.
I bought four different movies that were not The Virgin Suicides.
Wow.
Man.
You made four mistakes.
Yeah. So, guys, is it time for our bottom
yes,
five?
Sir.
Our bottom
yes,
five.
Sir.
Okay, so we'll go fifth from last and then down to last.
Yep.
Okay, so my fifth from last. Oh, God, it's going to be a bummer going through these.
Oh, yeah. Let's do
my fifth from last is O.
Interesting. My fifth from last is the Ottoman Lieutenant, everybody.
Matt.
I'm going to surprise you guys. I will say honorable mention on this list, but does not make it for me, is O.
Okay.
But I just want to be on the record as I also hated it. but part of it was funny to me. All these in some way were funny, which is why my fifth from last is Town and Country.
Oh! Exciting.
That movie is detestable, but, I mean, it just really is. And that is its own kind of weird, you know, gravity well of interesting.
You'll get no arguments from me.
Okay. That is kind of true, yeah.
Okay, so my fourth from last is Parts Per Billion.
Okay. My fourth from last is O.
Okay, Matt?
And my fourth from last is also Parts Per Billion. Parts Per Billion
is so boring.
So fucking boring. It's almost unforgivable.
Yeah, it is such a drag.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be.
That is my seventh least favorite Josh Hartnett movie.
Okay, so my third...
It's two up from you guys.
My third from last is The Lovers.
Got it. My third from last is Girl Walks Into a Bar.
Wait, you had it down that low?
I don't like that movie. It's bad, and it's boring, and it's not... There's nothing despicable that makes it somehow conversely charming in its own funny way. It's just so lame.
Yeah, good point.
The movie's so lame.
It's interesting. I didn't.
Yeah, that's like, when you say it.
I think Girl Walks Into a Bar is directly in the middle of my list. It just didn't make a big impression on me.
It might. Like, yeah, it didn't exist. Almost.
I found it inoffensive.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait. So yours is Girl Walks Into a Bar. Matt, what's your third from last?
I'm like actively still judging these. It feels like. My third from last is Here on Earth.
Okay. A classic bad one.
I have Here on Earth way high up, like on the list. It's nestled in the middle. It's very nice and safe from any top or bottom five.
God damn it. I hate it.
Well, I think your argument for why you find Town and Country kind of intriguing is maybe my argument for Here on Earth.
Yeah, I will say Here on Earth is my sixth from last.
But it has
I had so much fun hating that movie.
Yeah,
that
but it's dreadful.
It is, but for some reason it was like, if I wanted to put a movie on at a party and make everybody scream at the top of their lungs with how much they like want to murder characters, that's what I would do. Like, well, it's almost like something I put on at a party to make people laugh.
I know what you mean, and that's...
Yeah, I might actually put... I'm going to change it to Town and Country, Here on Earth, and then we'll go Parts Per Billion.
Okay. See, my thing, the reason that I had Here on Earth sixth from last, so still
boring,
very low, but
infuriating.
But not in the bottom five, was for me, it's like, it's terrible, and I hated it, but some of these other movies just bored me more.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I still couldn't justify putting Here on Earth higher because it sucks.
Yeah. I mean, boring is, I think we all kind of agree though, that boring might be the worst offense. Is that
yes?
Unengaging.
I mean, boring, and then maybe just worse than boring is that it seems like it's. Well, what I'm about to say, I will say when we talk about our last film. Oh,
okay.
So let's go on.
Okay, so my second from last.
Second from last
is Wild Horses.
I think you're a little harsh on Wild Horses. My second to last is The Lovers.
Okay, my third. That was
I'm kind of like staggered from you a little bit. Yeah,
and Matt,
I also agree that Wild Horses.
Yeah,
it sucked. It was
looked like shit. It had one of the leads was unwatchably bad at acting. No fault to her own, except for being
she
cast.
Was probably forced into
into
acting by her husband.
But you know what? Hey, sucked.
It was that was for me
ham-fisted moral tale about an old man who has to kill himself because he realizes he's just in the way of progress or something,
just
and that's immoral.
Incompetent in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
really incompetent.
Really hard to look at. Yeah. Bad. Really bad on every single
You guys
level.
Almost made me want to change mine to The Wild Horses.
For a movie that was not even 2 hours long, it took me hours to get through it because I kept pausing it and doing different things.
Yeah.
Yeah, just rolling my eyes, getting mad, and then mostly just being
just glazed over and wishing it was over because I was bored.
So I'm going to... Okay, so it's time for my absolute bottom. My the worst, in my opinion, film Josh Hartnett ever appeared in. And I think to no one's surprise, it is Town and Country.
Yeah. I will add to that. And my least favorite Josh Hartnett film is Town and Country, the movie that destroyed two... silver screen icons careers.
If you guys,
as a result of it,
that movie may be made on bad intentions and pure evil, but if you aren't going to at some level enjoy former Hollywood bad boy Warren Beatty's flabby ass cheating on his wife with Goldie Hawn in the Hamptons after a helicopter shot, and just marvel at the amount of pure waste and avarice and incompetence and just lack of skill that movie took to come about. It's the same way that like certain movies that are pure evil, yeah, are.
It's morbidly fascinating in the way that Mein Kampf is like fascinating that it exists, but what it purports to like as its morals is just pure despicable. Like values, like it actually, not that anybody watching this movie would be like, I like the lesson that it's going out.
Here's the thing, like Wild Horses, while incompetent and boring and shitty, was also a small, cheap production, relatively independent production.
True.
Yeah.
Town and Country had the budget of a blockbuster.
Yeah.
It had the resources and talent put into that movie. To produce such a piece of garbage, truly horrible, detestable garbage.
Yeah. Like morally reprehensible characters.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, I obviously like some morally reprehensible, like Michael Bay movies.
Yeah.
But this is a movie that doesn't know what's morally reprehensible. This is a movie that should just be a light, fun comedy. Again, it should just be like a Nancy Meyers movie, and it's just this just one of the shittiest films I think I've ever seen. Like, no movie that we watched made me as angry as Town and Country. And not in the fun, like, here on Earth, like, no, Chris Klein, you fucking suck, I hope you die way. Yeah. But in the I feel bad watching this, and I hate this experience, and I just want it to be over.
And I just think about Warren Beatty, and I think about Goldie Hawn, and the fact that they just basically, like Yoda, flew to another planet and just hid in seclusion and hermitage for like a good decade and a half because this movie was so thoroughly destructive to both of their careers.
And
like,
the way
that's so sad.
They got the writer of The Graduate to come in for like to do some rewrites on set, and he stays for a year and rewrites half the script and writes himself into the movie and still can't even come close to salvaging anything.
I know, and our boy Josh is in it, but all he does is see his dad get his dick sucked in a polar bear costume. Like,
all you have is Dharma freaking fishing for a cock in a big polar bear costume.
It's so crazy.
And he just walks back to the airport or whatever from the middle of Aspen.
Yeah, walks back into the forest to get to the airport.
Not only the night.
But even the lines that poor Josh gets for that are... also morally, they're sexist, and just it just leaves you feeling distasteful because
Town and Country.
You didn't ask me what mine is.
Matt,
what's your least favorite movie?
What movie made me?
I'm actually so curious since it's not Town and Country.
Than Town and Country.
Wait.
Oh,
can I try and guess? I think I might know.
Is it Stuck Between Stations?
Yes, that is my least favorite film.
Stuck Between Stations.
That film is fucking garbage. Casper sucks huge fat fucking rancid cock in that movie. I hate them. I hate that they are trying so sweatily hard to make me give a shit about their stupid, inexplicable romance. I just... everything about it was a failure. I hated everyone viscerally in the movie.
Stuck Between Stations.
Except for Josh.
I kind of agree with you. There's something really, really that feels manipulative in that weird payoff scene. Because we've talked about the ending when they both reveal.
They're both like playing on some pretty like exhausted, worked over indie tropes.
Yeah.
But I hold a very personal distaste for, what is it?
the kind of charming slice of life, indie, sort of semi-autobiographical, like, romance thing or whatever.
Sure.
Like,
I sort of know what you're talking about.
I have so little patience for that. Like, two people, like, just learning that they're people. And I don't know.
Well, do you remember in the end scene when they're in the tent together and it seems like all they learned was, like, sometimes, like, time just goes by and then it's like a thing. And you're like, there is no lesson here. The line is so vague as to be meaningless. Like,
I swear
absolutely
to
meaningless.
God, dude. Like, it's the most mediocre piece of
but
shit
that's
that
the thing.
We've ever watched.
For me, it was mediocre. It didn't make me angry. It just did not make much of an impression
on me
at all.
What I mean by that, there are things that didn't have an impact, and that in its own way is an indictment. But if you can somehow bore me, piss me off, which seems like it shouldn't happen together, and be astoundingly middle of the bell curve, just like nonsense bullshit with pretensions.
Yeah, yeah.
Of artistry. I don't know. It was the perfect storm for me of dislikable things.
The ending too, with the reveal of both of their tragic, weird pasts,
yeah,
felt kind of exploitative. Also,
well, the whole movie
which was probably the thing that made us the most mad.
Yeah, I'd have to watch that asshole live in a tent and not go to his fucking house.
Anyways,
trying to fuck a rape victim. What a disgusting film.
On a positive note. Okay. On a positive note, can I give you my top five Josh performances?
Yeah!
We're back to our next segment. Top next five segment. Josh performances. Hey.
Okay. These top are... you know what? These are in an order. And these are just Josh in the movie, not the movie themselves. Okay, so number one, Virgin Suicides. Number two, Oh Lucy. Number three, Penny Dreadful. Mm. Here's where it gets crazy. Whoa. Number four.
Stuck between stations.
No. For me, number four, Lucky Number 11.
Okay, sure.
And number five, August.
Okay.
Oh.
I think he's very good in both of those. Even if I don't care for, like, the character change in Lucky Number 11. And but, like, until then, I think he's great in that movie.
I like what you're slaying. It's good.
Bringing back everyone's favorite joke in this podcast.
Adding an L.
Yeah. Yeah. Just SL. Are we supposed to give ours? Because I did not make
you don't
this
have
list.
To. I,
are
I,
we done?
I did that ranking a while ago.
Oh, really? Yeah, I mean, I would kind of agree with you. I think August and Lucky Number Slogist and Slevin are...
Slogist and Slevin and...
The Slurgeon Suicides.
Slucy Virgin Suicides.
Slow, yeah. Slucy.
Slucy Slew is slid.
Slesurrecting the slamp.
Slutty Sledful.
Oh, can we... Yeah. I would be remiss to not do a slight shout-out to the honorable mention Resurrecting the Champ for one of my favorite ones.
That's our most underrated, I think.
That was my number six movie.
Yeah, that's my my number
I
six as
that
well.
I think that earns a shout-out. We shouldn't
Resurrecting the Champ
over that.
Is just the group... sixth best movie.
Yeah, like it's just it came out of nowhere in that middle chunk of his career, which is where nobody
just a surprising bright spot. Yeah. Well, it was also one of his last studio films.
That's true.
And so guys, so we're an hour and 52 minutes into the episode.
We've said it all.
We've winding it down.
Pat, you know it wouldn't be a podcast
Pat,
if Matt
really
didn't burp at the episode.
I really wanted these two things to happen, okay? So.
I'll leave the burp. Listeners, Matt farted earlier, but you didn't hear it because I cut it out.
Or maybe you did, I don't know.
What are you going
to... Maybe when
are
Pat
you gonna
comes
stand,
to his senses.
Are you going to edit a fart back in when you're out of your...
That was
room?
A pretty weak burp, too. I basically threw up.
It was... as the one with the headphones, it was gross sounding.
Yeah, it was wet.
So,
it's a lot of material.
So, okay, here's the way I want to do this. I want to... give our listeners an idea. Finally, I'll answer the question that has been asked the most.
Yeah.
What happens now? Oh, man. Another
wow.
Another murder.
How much Everclear have you had to drink
for this episode.
How are all of you okay?
Well, I was hanging out with my father of mine, and and whew, we drank a lot.
Has he been at work? And he'll come back soon, like 6:30.
Yeah, it's cool. So first,
dinner better be ready.
First, we're going to answer the question that we've received the most, which is what happens now that we've done with Josh.
Yeah,
and basically, we're going to go on a little bit of a break. Just because we've been podcasting for a while.
We're going on vacation.
Yeah, also, it's time for Thanksgiving, and we're going to be going away.
Yeah, we need a sabbatical,
in 2 days.
Y'all.
And we will return. So whenever Josh Hartnett releases... Whenever a new movie featuring Josh Hartnett is released, we will return for a special episode of We Heart Hartnett to discuss that film. We will see them in theaters or on demand, wherever they're available. We will cover, going forward, we will cover every new Hartnett film.
Yeah, they'll just be probably these fun little episodes that get released once a year, however frequently they decide to come out, these movies.
All right, he seems to have like four movies done, so maybe we'll have four episodes.
They all get released the same day, and we're just
like,
so stressed out. You see Inherit the Viper, and I'll see The Long Home.
We're all trembling. We're all on Adderall just trying to do the episodes.
And we're talking over each other about different movies because we haven't seen.
And of course,
when
we get Josh on the podcast, we'll do an episode for that. But, and this is not much of an announcement for right now, the podcast will return with a new name, focused on a new actor, and I use actor as a gender-neutral term.
Yes.
Don't read anything into that. It just means that we have not announced the actor yet. And but you don't have to unsubscribe because it will.
Please don't.
It will.
We love you.
This will return as
you do all there, kill mice.
Don't listen to that. This will return with a new name, but with the same account. So you'll already be subscribed to the new one. It will still be the same podcast. Yeah. It'll have cool new cover art and a new theme song. And so that's the plan. We will, in the near future, return as like a revamped, cooler, sexier version of what you heard before. And
we will be sexier. You just won't know. We'll have gotten plastic surgery.
Yeah, we'll all have cheek fillers and big old lips,
full lips,
giant chins,
huge chins.
Pat's gonna get a big extra bit of chin with a cleft. I'm gonna get giant cheeks.
And you know I'm going to be flooding my forehead with Botox.
Yeah. No wrinkles there.
Jake wants to look like garbage everywhere except his smooth, perfect forehead.
I'm going for wrinkles everywhere else. Don't get me wrong.
And so that is the plan. So stay tuned.
I'm going to get those big... I'm going to use Synthol, that weird gel you can inject into your arms to...
Oh, like the water muscles?
Yeah, make it look like you have basically tumor muscles.
It's like, why go to the gym when you can inject water muscles into yourself?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Freaking workaround, baby.
So listeners, stay tuned. Because as you will know when news is announced.
We'll be like, broadcasting from the top of the Empire State Building.
Yeah. I promise it'll be very hard to miss this. We'll probably even have a video being like, this is the new podcast. But but so that's that. But guys.
Those will be our voices in the new podcast.
Yeah, we'll be more like chipmunks.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what the cheek thing's all about.
Well,
exactly.
Who is that guy that said we were the weasels from Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yeah,
who is that guy?
One of our listeners...
Yeah, that, we have beef, my friend.
Yeah.
One of our listeners tweeted at us recently comparing us to the weasels from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Let me look up this tweet.
Well, me and Jake.
Me and Jake for sure.
No.
Me and Matt for sure.
Oh, my God.
No, I just left my body for a second.
Actually, no, okay. So this is from at Ben's Decoy. He says...
I don't know why I laugh at everybody's Twitter handle.
You do.
They're not that funny. I'm not making fun of them.
At JR Torby. what a stupid fucking name.
It also, unfortunately, me laughing at every Twitter handle also reinforces us, or me specifically, being a weasel from Who Framed Roger Rabbit, because we watched clips from that. Like, me and Rach, you were like, this is a funny comment that somebody sent to us, and then I was like, I don't even get it.
Boiling mad.
I was so mad. I was like, I don't even get it. So I watched a clip of the end of Who Framed Roger Rabbit when all the weasels get killed. And they just, all the weasels do is just laugh like cretins, like,
I
the
know.
Entire time. And I was like, oh, I think the comment is just that we are a bunch of idiots,
like,
and we laugh
yeah.
constantly.
We're dumb and we're laughing all the time.
So all I do is reinforce it when I laugh at your Twitter handle.
Exactly.
I don't even find
also,
it funny. I
also,
don't know why
Jake,
I'm laughing.
Why,
I think I'm nervous.
Why is your Twitter private?
I don't know. There's some secret stuff on there.
Jake personally doesn't want a person staying naked in his room one day.
I just realized that you plug your Twitter at the end of every episode, but also it's locked and people can't follow you.
Well, it's really fun, so you can't get it for free.
Sign up for his Patreon, pay him $20 a month, and you can see his tweets.
It's freemium subscription to your content. Sometimes I tweet a funny joke. Like, for instance...
You think you just get to see this and then not follow me?
Yeah. You want another piece of this jelly?
Yeah, dude.
Wait, let me read this tweet.
Yeah.
He says... So Ben's Decoy says, apologies if anyone else has already made the observation that the hosts are basically the weasels from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
I mean, it is really funny.
And, but then when asked about it, about which one is which, says, Patrick is clearly the leader who tells the others, quote, you know what happens when you can't stop laughing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That is us.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
That's actually good. I mean, I always kind of agreed.
Oh, you know what? I love this guy now. Thank you.
So,
my addresses.
So that's great. But guys, now, our final few minutes, any final reflections on Josh Hartnett? Say them right now, like really, really fast. Cram them in here. Don't get lengthy with them. Don't get long winded. Just give me your pithy final.
Yeah,
it's pithy and it's got
to
be funny.
You're long winded with telling us how to talk fast.
Yeah. I'm stalling while you guys can like formulate.
Oh, I understand.
Good thoughts.
Ooh,
sorry, you're helping
hey,
us
I understand.
Think. Yeah. Well, okay. I'll say one thing.
Yeah.
We've watched this man's career. This is gonna be so long. No, I'm just joking. We've watched this man's
crying.
Career. I actually kind of, I wrote a song.
We saw him grow
to sing it.
He grew from a little baby Josh to a big boy Josh.
He was 18 when we watched him at the beginning of the year.
He was 18, didn't ever care.
Now, a full 10 months later, he's 40. He just turned 40. Probably the biggest thing that this whole podcast has highlighted for me is, and this, it's not even going to sound that interesting, it's just how fucking weird and difficult it is to be an actor.
Yeah.
And how strange that career is. And this podcast has underlined that idea in a way that I think if we covered any other actor, it wouldn't have shown as clearly.
And we've covered an actor who's had a kind of a weirdly arduous go of it.
Yeah.
But he is, what's extra weird is that he is one of the most normal, kind of just like wholesome, family-oriented, seemingly, people.
Yeah, he like truly seems like a nice, genuinely down-to-earth, non-egotistical dude.
Who really interestingly was like rocketed to stardom very quickly and then rejected it.
Yeah.
And fled from it.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying it's weird to still get that sense of the just bizarre and kind of, I don't know, somewhat destructive, somewhat creative world of just being an actor and kind of being this vessel for other people's creative vision and trying to control your own, I don't know, opportunities and roles in that world and all this kind of shit and how money gets involved and makes it weird through somebody who still like seems the least, I don't know, outwardly behaviorally fucked up by it. Like,
yeah.
Like some, like tons of other actors we could mention.
Actually, yeah, who are just fucking nuts.
Like
if we did a Sean Penn podcast.
Yeah. Even like Philip Seymour Hoffman or something, though. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
These people that are
just addicted
like,
to heroin.
Yeah. So what I'm reminded of actually is on the first episode of my other podcast, the Infinity Podcast, past guest of this show.
We don't plug this show.
In fact, we're mad that you're part of that podcast.
We fired you this time.
Oh, that's why the show is ending.
Yeah.
So, past guest of this show, Scott Thomas, told a story about one time when he was in acting school.
Yeah,
Jeremy Irons was doing a talk,
awesome.
And someone asked him a question about.
Please say Dead Ringers.
Way better than that. I'm not gonna like. I'm gonna butcher Scott's story here because he did a Jeremy Irons impression, which was good, and I can't do
Hello.
That. Someone asked Jeremy Irons about his not so great movies. Was just like, you know, you've done a lot of good movies and then some that weren't as good. And Jeremy Irons replied, I believe you're referring to
Dungeons and Dragons.
And
that
but,
is a shithead movie.
But well, also, hell yeah, Jeremy Irons for delivering that line.
Yeah, but what he Dragons. Said, what he said about it was that acting is his job. It as much as he has a variety of interests and hobbies and things he does like in his free time, acting is his job. And it's a job that he's got to do. And, you know, regardless of the final, like the quality of the final result, it's a job and he's got to make a living. And he's going to, he'll put the same effort into everything. And yeah. It's like, you know, Josh has worked continuously. He has made a living. He has been a working actor.
Yeah.
And especially since he moved away from the kind of like huge paycheck movies. He has still worked consistently. He has made movies of varying quality, and it's also interesting. You know, if you're like you reject everything that comes with like being a big movie star.
Yeah.
You know, you do have to work consistently and take these chances. And I feel like if you're where Josh Hartnett was in like 2002. You could be like, I'll just make a movie every couple of years, whatever. I'm going to pull in like millions with each one. But if you decide not to do that, it's like, oh, you've got to do a bunch of movies. You have to keep working.
Yeah, that's true.
But you have to support a family.
He's also too tainted by his, I feel like, previous, the possibilities of him as a younger actor on the scene. He's just too tall and kind of good looking to do the like cool character actor work that so many.
I don't buy that though, because there's so many hot people. "Quote unquote," that do great stuff. And
well, the thing
really
is, like, Josh,
interesting projects now.
He's not a character actor. That's not his skill set.
Right.
He's not like.
I guess that's
his accents don't really work. He's
Robert
not,
Pattinson.
No, Robert Pattinson. Yeah,
is a hot
he
character.
Is more
actor?
Of a character actor. Yeah. Like Brad Pitt, right. More of a character actor.
And Brad Pitt has that same voice thing though that bothers me. That kind of like chill voice that just kind of like always kind of seeps into stuff. A little bit, and it works sometimes, and it really doesn't some other times.
Yeah,
well, like a Cali guy
sometimes, but I mean, but like you look at Brad Pitt and Snatch are Inglourious Bastards, and I feel like in both
he's
of those,
awesome in those movies.
He's great.
yeah,
that's the thing. Brad Pitt is most interesting when he's doing like weird character roles.
Yeah,
and he's not doing his. Like, Brad Pitt is like physically the ultimate leading man. And he's most interesting when he plays against that.
But you know who I think is a good example of someone I don't really think I would call a character actor. Maybe you guys can argue otherwise. But who keeps doing really great, interesting projects is the man that I bumped into a couple days ago, Jakey G. He seems to be in really, really cool stuff. I wouldn't say that he like buries himself so thoroughly into roles that he's like a weird character actor. And he had kind of the same... Not entirely, but a little bit of the same trajectory as Josh. They came up around the same time. I know Jake Gyllenhaal is somehow younger, but got started a little earlier than Josh Hartnett.
Right.
But they were young actors that started in these weird movies, and they both got their sort of taste at the...
Jake Gyllenhaal start younger, or...?
He was a child actor, and he started acting a little bit younger. So his film career, even though he's a couple years younger than Josh...
How old was he in Donnie Darko?
I don't know, like 17, 18?
Something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's in, like, October Sky. And
yeah,
stuff
you're right.
Like
yeah,
that.
Like, old stuff.
And he was in Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, so he got to do that fucking sweet-ass thing where he runs on the walls
His
and he fights
film.
The sands.
Yeah. I mean, I love Josh, but Jake Gyllenhaal is a better actor.
Right,
also,
yeah,
with he has greater range. I think Josh fits in, like, I really think a closer model for him, which he doesn't really get compared to, is Keanu Reeves.
Right.
In terms of, Keanu has, I think, more limited range, but is when he, you see over his career as he learned what his range was, and he's so good at working within that range.
Right.
And he, He can get the most out of that, and I think like Jake Gyllenhaal can just transform himself in ways that Josh, I don't know if he can.
But I don't know if he can.
It doesn't. It seem like
he also hasn't tried.
Jake Gyllenhaal, therefore, has what seems to be more agency through increased opportunity because of his range.
Yeah, but like, well, also for instance, like you know,
makes his career look more intentional.
Yeah,
in a way.
Right.
And of course, we spent a lot of time on this podcast getting into things like, you know, just like the weird natural attributes of an actor, and in like just like, you know, their vibe, their look, their eyes, obviously.
Yeah, all of the tangibles and intangibles.
And so, and we don't
create
need to,
an aura that's just kind of hard to put a finger on.
We need to wrap up this episode, so it's, this is not the time to rehash. Like, here's my thoughts on Josh's eyes and like how they how they are can be both
how I get
like
lost in them.
Yeah, how they can be both a hindrance and like a secret weapon, But no, this is like, I will say, Josh Hartnett is a fascinating person through which to analyze the last 20 years of American cinema, and it is pretty wild how so many of the choices that he's made have just reflected or predicted trends that the industry would take.
Yeah, he's oddly prescient, even if he's you know.
He is unique in that way. Yeah,
that's what that's what I'd really like to ask him about. Just from everything from the shift away from the importance of movie stars to the rise of TV to the rise of like
precursors of comic book films.
Exactly. Of the rise of video on demand.
Yeah.
All these things, and I think Josh pays pretty close attention to the film industry and the way things are going, and he's you know, for a guy who just seemed like another attractive white male movie star in the early 2000s, he's had a very, very interesting career, and I think it will continue to going forward.
I like to hope that Oh Lucy will give us a positive sign of things to come as we move forward.
Yeah,
as we move forward.
Indeed, yeah. And I hold high hopes for Silver Age Josh, silver-haired Josh.
As
he becomes a distinguished older gentleman, I think. I think we'll see some interesting choices from the man.
Yeah. Exactly. And, by the way, answer to earlier question, he could play a good Reed Richards in a Fantastic Four movie.
Yes.
So that as well. Guys,
you will also
has
be
been
Reed Richards.
NPR.
So
we are Terry Gross.
We are Terry Gross.
How do we end this? Do we sing a song or something?
Well, don't put the pressure on us.
Yeah,
we
I
say
wanna sing a song. Let's just stop.
Guys, we...
And I'm Ira Glass.
all I'm going to say is we hearted and continue to heart Hartnett. We had Virgin Suicides and Hollywood homicides.
Black Hawk Downs, Pearl Harbor, and
oh!
The faculty.
Wicker Park.
Here on Earth.
And that's why.
That is why.
We heart. Joshua.
Daniel.
Hold on.
Hartnett.
Oh.
Wait, Jake's getting up.
I just want to say also, it's been a pleasure to serve and an honor. And let's go out. Let's hit the note.
Can you pick this up?
Are you picking it up?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got it.
Can you play a couple chords just to start us?
I gotta like remember this song.
Just think about Paul Simon and how you copied him.
How I copied 59th Street Bridge song.
Yeah. You got it?
Okay. Okay,
Let's do it.
Ready?
From the top?
Lay it down.
Apologies if I fuck this up.
Who gives a shit?
And
whatever.
One, two. One, two, three, go.
We heart Hartnett. We heart Hartnett. We got virgin suicides and Hollywood homicides. Black Hawk Down, Pearl Harbor, and oh, the faculty, Wicker Park, and here on Earth. And that's why we heart Joshua Daniel Hartnett.
Thank you so much.
We love you all.
Fucking love you.
We heart you.